Tydfil with the latest on the amber weather warning across Wales.
And I'm LBC's George Ike at Birmingham Airport, where snow has brought planes to a standstill overnight.
Across the Atlantic, a storm of different kind. Fury, protests continue after that shooting in Minneapolis.
We're here to show up, and we're going to keep showing up. And we're going to show ICE that this will not stop us.
Is there going to be more, you know, more things like this happen? More people get shot? I mean, I hope not.
Yet another U-turn from the government. It's enough to make you dizzy, isn't it? This time over pubs. Employment Minister Dame Diana Johnson telling LBC last night.
If a pub landlord or a trade organisation comes forward and says, we understand what your policy wants to do, but this is actually something you need to be aware of, I think that's right when you look at it.
Plus, where is the primary school, I stress primary school, where teachers are going on strike because they're attacked almost daily? Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, tens of thousands of homes across the UK are without power this morning after Storm Goretti brought heavy snow and powerful winds overnight. Gusts of 99 miles per hour have been recorded in Cornwall. The southwest of England has been particularly badly affected, with more than 43,000 properties currently without electricity. LBC's southwest correspondent Andy Ballantyne is following developments.
One minute it's rain hammering sideways, the next it's hail rattling the windows, and then suddenly nothing or even snowflakes. A government alert message effectively told people not to travel and stay indoors, and that remains this morning. Cornwall Council telling people to work from home if possible.
Amber alerts for snow will remain in place in the Midlands, Wales and parts of South Yorkshire until 9 o'clock this morning. More than 250 schools are due to remain closed in Scotland. Greg Dewhurst is from the Met Office and says Storm Goretti will weaken as the day progresses.
Storm Goretti is now just sat to the southeast of the UK, and it's going to continue to bring some very strong winds, outbreaks of rain, sleet and snow through the day today. So we still have Met Office warnings out, but the wind strengths are coming down.
Flights and rail travel are also being disrupted. The runway at Birmingham Airport is currently closed while snow is cleared. TransPennine Express, Northern and East Midlands Railway have cancelled services between Manchester Piccadilly and Sheffield. Do stay with LBC for the latest on Storm Goretti. You can read more at lbc.co.uk. In other news this morning, two people are in hospital after being shot by US federal agents in the state of Oregon. Officials from Homeland Security say it happened during a vehicle stop targeting a passenger linked to a suspected Venezuelan gang. Portland's Democratic mayor has called for immigration agents to suspend all operations in the city. It's as protests about the fatal shooting of Rene Good in Minneapolis have been spreading across the United States. And hospitality groups are welcoming an expected U-turn on business rates for pubs, saying it'll save locals. Some landlords have been warning that their bills will double in April because of changes set out in the budget. The Employment Minister, Dame Diana Johnson's, told LBC that discussions have been going on since before Christmas.
The pub sector have come forward with more information to make their case to ministers. And I think it's right that ministers listen. If a pub landlord or a trade organisation comes forward and says, we understand what your policy wants to do, but this is actually something you need to be aware of, I think that's right when you look at it.
In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,044. It closed down three yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards away from the UK. Rain and snow showers will continue across eastern parts. Elsewhere, a mix of sunny spells and wintry showers, a high of 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hello, I'm a National Lottery scratch card. Over five people a second win with me. Ooh. That's like 30 winners since I started talking. Oh, 12 more. 14. 21!
Is there a win in store for you? Play a National Lottery scratch card today. Winners is an average search. Dream big, play small. Rules apply. Players must be 18 or over.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning to you. 4 minutes after seven on Friday, January the 9th. So the weather bomb, as the French Meteorological Office called it, has exploded. And how are you doing this morning as you're possibly waking up or possibly trying to go to bed? Are you one of the tens of thousands of homes without power? Are you some of the people who've had to evacuate? Are you possibly some of the people who had 99 miles an hour winds? 99 miles an hour. And have you been affected by the closure of some of the airports? We've got reporters nationwide. But of course, I want to hear your stories too and how you're coping. The one positive, it does appear, as you heard on the LBC News Bulletin there, it does appear that the storm is moving on for other areas now. Meanwhile, the storm continues in the United States. Vice President J.D. Vance defending the actions of those ICE agents. He was speaking at the White House yesterday.
You have a woman who aimed her car at a law enforcement officer and pressed on the accelerator. Nobody debates that. I can believe that her death is a tragedy while also recognizing that it's a tragedy of her own making.
Earlier this week, the Prime Minister signed the Declaration of Intent with Emmanuel Macron to put British troops boots on the ground in peacekeeping efforts in Ukraine. Now we hear of the top defence chief who says the government is short of just £28 billion. You may recall earlier this week I spoke with the former Deputy Supreme Commander of NATO in Europe, General Sir Richard Sheriff, who told me...
Enforcing peace means being prepared to overmatch the Russians, and that means also being prepared to fight them if necessary.
So we could have British troops firing on Russian military personnel in Ukraine?
We could.
And now Russia say, by the way, British military and French would be legitimate targets. We'll update you on that story and speak to a former Defence Secretary. And in the field of education... Where's the primary school, I stress primary school, where teachers are ready to go on strike because of almost daily attacks from pupils? Yes, that would be a primary school. And then to another level of education, to universities. And where is the college that might actually now discriminate in favour of private school pupils as they fear a reverse discrimination? A view here on that from Jess Stauffenberg, education policy expert.
There's huge institutional knowledge across most of the most elite private schools of how to get kids in. Trinity Hall needs to show the proof as to why those schools need a specific policy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Enough from me about the storm. I want to hear how you've got through. I hope you're okay. I hope you're not one of the people who's without power or been evacuated. But as I say, enough from me. Let's go to my colleagues who are actually out there in the field. First, LBC's Andy Ballantyne joining us from Totnes in Devon, where there was a red wind warning last night hitting, I think, the 90s or so. Andy joins me now. Morning, Andy.
Good morning. It really was bonkers out here. I couldn't even hold my pasty, Nick. I've never known anything quite like this in 30-plus years, perhaps since the great storm of 1987. Power cuts have already affected thousands of homes in Cornwall and on the Isles of Scilly. National Grid at one point reporting 112 incidents in Cornwall, leaving nearly 54,000 properties with no power. That number has come down, but 41,000 households are waking up with no power this breakfast. A record at St Mary's Airport on the Isles of Scilly with a gust of 99 miles per hour officially recorded, but unconfirmed reports of 110 mile per hour gusts at Boss Castle. While St Ives MP Andrew George had to return to London after aborting his travel plans.
Stay indoors, stay indoors. There's no need to go out. A lot of power has been lost. A lot of trees are down. A lot of impact on the local community.
A government alert message effectively told people not to travel and stay indoors, and that remains this morning. If you can work from home, then do so, is the message from Cornwall Council. The main worry is flood water, especially in the dark where you don't know how deep it is. The advice is don't drive through it. Train services across the whole of Cornwall remain suspended. People have also been urged to stay away from the coast. Huge waves have been seen anywhere from 8 to 12 feet, so nearly 4 metres high. We wait for daylight to see the true extent of the damage caused by Storm Goretti. Now it's over to my colleague, Caitlin Parr, who's in Merthyr Tydfil.
Thanks so much, Andy. Well, just over 500 homes left to regain power across Wales this morning as crews have been out overnight. More than 80 schools in mid and south Wales closed, but Storm Gretti is slowly moving away from mid Wales. Dangerous conditions started a bit earlier than expected here yesterday. A number of cars getting stuck on mountain roads around Merthyr Tydfil and Rhondychen and Taff, all of which had to close hours before the amber warning came into force, causing chaos in the South Wales valleys. And outside of that amber warning zone in North West Wales, we even heard mountain rescue teams on Yrwydfa or Snowdon saying that they were concerned avalanches could be triggered by walkers disrupting unstable snow there. So incredibly dangerous scenes outside of that weather warning area as well. Now, that amber snow warning will lift here in the next hour. Yellow snow, rain and wind warnings will all lift by midday. But Judith Bryce from the Welsh Ambulance Service say they're expecting a big rise in demand before those warnings end.
We've put additional resources out, and that includes managers out on frontline vehicles. So we are prepared in that space. We've also put additional resources on to make sure that our staff can get into work and get home from work at the end of shift. It does mean in areas like remote parts of Wales that it may take us longer to reach you. But what we would say is that please, if you need us, continue to call and we will be there.
And roads in many of those rural areas we heard Judith Bryce talking about still blocked this morning. The majority of rail services across Wales running at a reduced timetable, if not cancelled completely. So advice this morning is to check before you travel. And we can hear more now on travel disruption from George Ike, who's at Birmingham Airport.
Thanks, Caitlin. Well, the scene here is one of hope slowly rebuilding after the runway of Birmingham Airport was shut for coming up on 12 hours now. When I arrived here just after 4 a.m, the entire airport was covered in snow, car parks inaccessible, families on the brink of fallouts and children sleeping on the floor of departures. The airport says it's because of consistent heavy snowfall from early yesterday evening. I spoke to Joe, who's been stuck here overnight trying to get to Dubai.
So I arrived here last night at 6 o'clock. My flight was at 8.50, and then I'm currently booked on the 1.40 this afternoon. So I think some people have been moved to Manchester. The morning flight is fully booked. Some people have been delayed till tomorrow. So, I'm fortunate. So I'm going to Dubai to see my daughter. I've got twins, grandchildren, and it's their birthday Saturday. So as long as I get there for Saturday, that's fine.
So as we heard there, a number of flights have already been cancelled. Lots more delayed still throughout the day, not just here, but also at East Midlands Airport, who for a brief time had to also close their runway too. West Midlands Railway also have no trains running at the moment, but say they're working on getting some routes opened as a priority early this afternoon. So after almost 12 hours of chaos, Nick, passengers here and people across the Midlands are cautiously optimistic that trains will get back on track and planes, hopefully including the one I'm due to catch this evening, will take off without any problems.
George, what the hell is going on with the Birmingham Bureau? Whenever I talk to you or your colleague Luke Shannon, all you tell me is that you're like the modern-day Judith Chalmers. You're always going on your holidays. Did your colleague get away? Did Luke get away last night?
He didn't, Nick, because he's going with me this evening. I'll be holding his hand through
security. What is it, a holiday club up there in Birmingham?
About the weather.
What is going on, the two of you? Put on earth to work. Where are you going, George?
We are going to Dublin for a mini break, if we get there.
Yeah, happy landings. Look after yourself. George, thank you. You heard from Andy Ballantyne and then Caitlin Parr and George Ike rounding off reporters and Nationwide 13 after 7. Remember, I want to hear your stories, but let's find out. Is it fair to say that possibly the storm has moved on? Steph Galter is meteorologist at Square Raindrop and joins me now. Have we seen and witnessed the worst of it, would you say? Steph, good morning.
Hello. Yes, it does look like the worst of the winds, especially for Devon and Cornwall, is over. There, the winds are very much dropping. The storm centre itself is now tracking its way eastwards along the south coast. So the winds are still very strong in the south, but they're not gusting to the sort of 100. And we did see 123 unconfirmed gust of wind there. So incredibly strong for Cornwall. The worst there is over. What we're now seeing is the rain and the snow that was arched right over the top of it. And that's what was giving all the snow as far as northern England. That is now pivoting and heading its way eastwards. So it's sort of in a line, the middle of the country, there, you've got rain to the east, whereas to the west, the rain and the sleet and the snow, that's all coming to an end now. So slowly, all of that wintry mess is going to edge its way eastwards. It's probably still going to be clinging on to that eastern coast as we head into evening time, but it's gradually now pulling away. And it is a real mess of rain, sleet and snow.
And how when long all that clears away, in the east, how long in the east will it continue for then, Steph?
It's going to eventually clear this evening, but not first thing this evening. So later this evening it will go. And then the problem is the cold air's back. So then anything on the ground, all that rain, all the water that's on the ground, that's going to freeze. So it's going to be a very icy night again.
And lastly, a reprieve over the weekend, or do you sense there's more bad weather blowing in later on the weekend or through next week?
So it does look like as we head into Sunday and Monday, we'll see some far milder, well, I say far, relatively milder air come in. So yes, it's January. Don't expect tropical Dubai conditions like that person was off to there. But it is still going to be milder. We're not going to see as much sleet and snow and ice around, especially in the southern half of the country. In parts of Scotland, it's still going to be cold. It is January. But elsewhere, it should be the end of this particularly severe, very cold spell.
Steph Galter is meteorologist at Square Raindrop. Thanks for your input on that. Remember, I want to hear your stories, how you've coped, whether you were slip sliding, whether your car was something, whether you can't get it up the hill, down the hill, whatever it might be, we'll take your stories. We also go off to the US. Storm, as I said earlier, of a different kind. Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, defending the officer who shot and killed that woman in Minneapolis.
This is an experienced officer who followed his training, and we will continue to let the investigation unfold into the individual and continue to follow the procedures and policies that happen in these use of force cases.
And do you remember this back in 2024 when baby Elsa, as she was called, was discovered abandoned in a shopping bag in East London? Chief Superintendent Simon Crick from the Met told us at the time.
We were called by a member of the public and their dog who had discovered a newborn baby in a shopping bag at the junction of Greenway and High Street South.
Some good news, baby Elsa is to be adopted, and the most extraordinary story, put in touch with her older siblings who were found abandoned in similar circumstances. Yes, there's almost a family of them. We'll give you more details later in the show. Just on 7.16 LBC News headlines then, Dominic Ellis.
Storm Goretti has brought powerful winds and heavy snow to the UK overnight as tens of thousands of people are without power. Two people have been injured and taken to hospital after being shot by US federal agents in Portland. And hospitality groups are welcoming an expected government U-turn on business rates for pubs, saying it'll save locals. LBC weather, Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards away from the UK, but rain and snow showers continuing for the east of England. Elsewhere, a mix of sunny spells and wintry showers, a high of 8 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. In Walthamstow, Forest Road is closed eastbound between Black Horse Road Station and Pembar Avenue. And that's for the emergency work, so definitely do expect delays. There are delays of about half an hour on the A13 westbound from Raynham to Barking. And there's only one Woolwich Ferry running because of a technical problem. On the Underground, there are severe delays on the Victoria line and minor delays on the Waterloo and City line. On the train, southeastern services are delayed by about half an hour via Ashford International after a signal failure. And because of the bad weather further west and in the Midlands, lots of train companies are part suspended, including Chiltern Railways, London Northwestern, South Western Railway, Avanti West Coast and Great Western Railway.
This is LBC.
Wrap up with great savings in the Vodafone Winter Sale. Get reliable full fibre broadband from only £24 per month. Hurry, this amazing deal ends the 28th of January. Plus, switching is easy with one-touch switch. So, go online or in-store today. Vodafone.
Was £26 per month on a 24-month contract subject to credit check acceptance and availability. Terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Business healthcare. Sounds pricey.
At Benenden Health, it's less than £16 per employee per month, which
will go up when people use it.
Actually, no. We don't do price hikes each time our services are used. Just
medical questionnaires for everyone.
No. And it's quick and easy to join.
Sounds great. I'm in.
Benenden Health. Healthcare done different. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Selected surgical procedures. Immediate access for businesses. Wait periods apply for personal membership. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
New year, new you. Maybe. New year, new car. Definitely.
Upgrade your year with a new Vauxhall Fonterra Electric or any car from our award-winning range. With 0% APR over 4 years with a minimum 20% deposit and £1,000 off on top of all other offers. That's a resolution worth sticking to. Search Vauxhall today. £1,000 saving on new car orders until the January 2026. Personal contract purchase, 20% deposit, 18 plus. Subject to status and availability. T's and C's, Stellantis Financial Services.
Go on, leave the never-ending laundry pile, quiet flat, and empty fridge at home. Hop on the train and go into the workplace zone with Southeastern. Whether you're heading in for a change of scene, to share ideas, or enjoy a lunchtime chat with your colleagues, with our great range of tickets, we've got the one to suit your commute. Buy yours now on our app or website and pay no booking fees. So, go on, go in.
Southeastern.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345-6060-973.
7:20, your call's coming in. Nigel, your top of the queue, come to you in just a moment. Quickly tell you the front pages that hopefully you're going to bed to. Hopefully you're waking up to, or you may, some of you may be going to bed to, might have had a stormy night, of course, you might not have got that much sleep, of course. The paper's a little bit too late to get the full impact of the storm. There's a couple of pictures on the front pages. There's a political storm, really, that's brewing, and we will look at it in more detail later in the show, which is yet another U-turn. They must be giddy at numbers 10 and 11 with all these U-turns. Pub U-turns too little too late, says the Daily Mail. Reeves to climb down on pub tax is the front page of the Daily Telegraph. Let's just pick another couple. This is a powerful story, and again, one we're going to reference later in the show. The front page of the Times, the defence chief who's warning the government needs an extra, the military needs an extra £28 billion from the government. This, of course, as Keir Starmer said, that effectively comes some kind of peace deal, they will go operational, declining to say how many troops will be involved, but a figure that was bandied around yesterday was 7,500. Just bear with me, 7,500. Military experts will tell you, you need effectively three times that, those troops. So for every man or woman, you need three, because you need those who are there, those who are about to be deployed, and those who've come back. That's the sort of, so that's 22,000 odd. There's only 72,000 people in the army, 20% of whom are deemed medically unable to serve at the front line, or not operational, as they call it. So we're not going to get there. That is the reality. We'll look at that in more detail. The LBC app's got all the details of the storm. Thousands without power. My colleague Andy Ballantyne said around 40,000 in the West Country. Across the whole of the country, obviously I can't give you that, but they're looking like 71,500 is the tally at the moment. Thousands of schools are forced to close. That's all on the front page of the LBC app, and one at random, the Independent. There we go. They've got some pretty powerful pictures from the protests, or what they call violent clashes in Minneapolis, after, of course, that ICE agent fatally shooting the mother. And, of course, the Trump administration saying again that she was a domestic terrorist and she weaponized the car. We're going to hear more about that in just a few moments' time. But let's pick up with how you're coping with the weather. Nigel, in Mayfair. Nigel, how is it for that rather nice part of town? Good morning.
Well, good morning, Nick. Before I mention the weather, can I just nominate Sir Keir Starmer as the next Minister of Transport? He's so good at doing U-turns, perhaps he can rewrite the highway code.
Well, he wouldn't want to do a U-turn on this ice. How have you fared, Nigel?
Well, we're in London. We're very, very lucky. But as I mentioned to your co-worker who took my call, which you're going to recognise, I'm going to say, as a former man who's lived and worked in New York. Mm. New York can cope with the snow. We can't. They have snow plowed out. Now, I've got friends who live in Westchester County and that area and in Manhattan. When it snows, they deal with it. Why is it in this country we get snow and we can't deal with it?
Nigel, and I lived in Westchester County, and the snow is incredible. But you can count on it almost every year, the same as you can a Thanksgiving holiday. Here, it is I can't recall winds of 99 miles an hour, and I can't recall a weather bomb, as the French like to call it, of this magnitude. It's whether you'd be prepared to commit, Nigel, and some of these bits of kit cost £250,000, and you use them once every 5 years? I don't get the economics.
Let me come back to you.
Go on, sir.
If you remember, I know you're a younger man than me and much better looking.
By a year, I would imagine. Anyway, go on.
The biggest storm this country has, if I remember, was 1963. It was horrendous.
Right.
Now, also,
I remember when Seven Oaks lost six of its oak trees and became one oak. Remember that one.
Yeah, wasn't that when the storm that wasn't going to come stormed?
Yeah, that was Michael Fish. There's no storm,
exactly,
don't worry.
But if you remember, when Gatwick, some years ago, left the company that was running Heathrow, They put all new infrastructure in with snowplows to keep the thing, to keep the place open. You say it costs a lot of money to buy this stuff. Of course it does. But let's look at the cost to business and the cost to everything else when the country stands still.
All right. It's a very fair point. Let's see what others make of it. Nigel, look after yourself. Stay warm. Best of the family. Should that money, I say again, those bits of kit, those extraordinary snowplows, the like of which, and he's right, Nigel's absolutely right, it was extraordinary to live and work in a city like New York, because they just didn't stop, they came into work, and they get far, far bigger snow dumps in New York than we've experienced today, and they just cope with it. And coming down the Bronx River Parkway, as I did most mornings, there they were. But is that money well spent? All right, let's go stay. Thanks, Nigel. We'll stay in the United States, but go elsewhere. And we go to Minneapolis, where those protesters, after the fatal shooting of that young mum, took to the streets.
We're here to show up, and we're going to keep showing up. And we're going to show ICE that this will not stop us.
Is there going to be more, you know, more things like this happen? More people get shot? I mean, I hope not.
No backtracking from the Trump administration, by the way. Domestic terrorists and language such as that. Here's Vice President J.D. Vance speaking from the White House.
You have a woman who aimed her car at a law enforcement officer and pressed on the accelerator. Nobody debates that. I can believe that her death is a tragedy while also recognizing that it's a tragedy of her own making and a tragedy of the far left who has marshaled an entire movement, a lunatic fringe, against our law enforcement officers.
A lunatic fringe? So you're not allowed to protest over there? Let's turn to Jeff Hayden, who's a political analyst, former Democrat state senator for Minnesota, and joins us from Minneapolis. Good to have you on, Mr. Hayden. Obviously, it's the early hours of the morning there now, but how would you describe the mood from last night? Morning to you.
Good morning. It was pretty tense. The irony of the shooting that happened a couple of days ago is about six blocks from where the Minneapolis Police Department killed George Floyd. So this area is pretty traumatized. There's a lot of PTSD, but they're resolved. They're strong, and but the mood is very, very tense. And ICE is on the ground, and they are, acting as a mob here in Minneapolis.
There are reports that hotels, coffee shops are refusing to serve ICE agents, and the folks there just want them out of town. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. All around town, if people identify that that's where ICE agents are, if they're going to the local Target or, there even is, I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of a comical scene where there's a person that has a full drum set at a hotel where the ICE agents are staying just to make sure that they don't get a good night's rest.
Wow. What's happening as regard investigations into the shooting of the mother?
Well, here's the problem is that the Minnesota Bureau of Investigations, which is the state's police investigatory agency, actually got called off by the FBI. The FBI said they won't be sharing information, which further clouds the transparency of the investigation. The governor announced yesterday that they won't be that the FBI won't be sharing the information. So people are very, very concerned that there won't be transparency in this investigation.
Jeff, I can only call it from the video that I've seen. I appreciate you probably weren't there, but you'll know a lot of folks involved and you'll have spoken to a lot of folks on the ground. How are you calling it?
It's in the district that I represented as though 5 years ago, but it's not far from where I live today. It was clearly everything that I can see, and the investigation hopefully will show the same thing, that she was kind of blocking the street as part of this blockade to try to stop ICE from, terrorizing our neighbors. But she was pulling away from the officer, and he stepped in front of it and shot her directly in the head.
And lastly, to those who say, well, if you're told to stop by a police officer, if you're told to get out of your car by a police officer, you should do that and not act, as your president might say, as a form of terrorist. How would you respond, Jeff?
Well, I would just suggest this, that even if law enforcement said that you should get out, there are laws that really, really define what type of force that they should use. And they certainly shouldn't use lethal force from an innocent protester who maybe decided not to get out the car. The other thing is that the ICE agents have stormed Minneapolis with masks on their face, with uniforms that aren't familiar to us. So often people don't know if the ICE agents are real law enforcement or not.
Jeff Hayden, I'll let you get some sleep. It's the early hours of the morning for you. You're a political analyst. You were a state senator for Minnesota, and you're joining us from Minneapolis. 728 calls coming in on that again. John's in Woodford. John, your reaction now that we've had 24 hours really to muse, to think on and reflect on what happened there. What are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Well, good morning, Nick. Your father,
I am a father. I've taken kids to school.
I have.
Can you imagine that this lady's taking her kids to school?
I think she dropped the child off, actually. But anyway.
Well, yeah, I believe she's got three children.
I'm not sure of the number, but where are we going with that? She was taking part. By the way, you are allowed to protest, and she was taking part in a protest, which you're allowed to do, of course, most free countries.
Okay, I didn't even think she was. I thought they said she dropped her child off, and now she was going, and she hadn't actually blocked the road. And, you know, there's so many stories. Now, the point is, if you drop your kid off, and you get these people coming towards you you don't recognise, you're going to think you're going to get taken in, and you won't even get to pick up your kid later in the day. I mean, that you'd panic about that.
Right.
And therefore, you would try to get away from them,
yes,
hoping that they won't stop you and take you in and question you. Because that's what this new gang, I didn't think they had uniforms. The only uniform they seemed to be wearing were masks. Well, police don't normally come towards you with a mask, do they?
No, they don't. I mean, if you look at the still photographs, you can see that they have those sort of over jackets or whatever that have got the crest of the various federal crests on them. But I take on board what the man who's joined us from Minneapolis said, that there is a feeling that some of them are wearing uniforms that are unrecognised. John, thank you for your input on that. We might stay with that conversation, although I do sense, until we have a definitive investigation from the FBI or another law authority, it's difficult really how to move forward. So let's come back to the UK and the government moving forward by yet again going into reverse gear.
LBC broke the story that Rachel Reeves is about to U-turn on business rates for pubs. I'm LBC's Natasha Clark with all the exclusive details.
Plus, you know those fat jabs? Well, the jabs are just not the job for firms such as...
Delicious oven-baked bacon sandwich and freshly ground fair trade coffee for only £2. Another great deal from Greggs.
But Greggs say they're suffering because people are on those jabs. We'll have more on that after this. It's 7:30. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. Newstime, Dominic Ellis.
Storm Goretti has brought powerful winds and heavy snow to the UK as tens of thousands of people are without power this morning. Gusts of 99 miles per hour were recorded in Cornwall last night. The southwest of England has been particularly badly affected, with more than 43,000 properties currently without electricity. Amber alerts for snow remain in place in the Midlands, Wales and parts of South Yorkshire until 9 o'clock this morning. Do stay with LBC for the latest. Two people are in hospital after being shot by US federal agents in Portland. It comes a day after a federal immigration officer shot and killed Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis. And hospitality groups have welcomed an expected government U-turn on business rate hikes for pubs. Some landlords have been warning that their bills would double in April because of changes set out in the budget. LBC weather, Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards away from the UK. Rain and snow showers continuing across eastern England. Elsewhere, a mix of sunny spells and wintry showers, a high of 8 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC. At the budget, Rachel Reeves said business rates would be coming down. It is genuinely hard to tell whether that was large-scale, rampant incompetence or flat-out lying. Today, with the threat of publicans descending on London, Rachel Reeves has signalled she will U-turn on business rate changes for pubs. Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Early Bird offers end Sunday in the biggest Furniture Village sale of the year. Save even more on sofas, dining, beds and bedroom furniture. And that's on top of sale prices. But hurry, Early Bird offers end this Sunday at Furniture Village, a world-class family business.
Thanks for a lovely evening. Would you like to come in for a coffee?
Yeah, okay. That'd be lovely.
Oh, gosh, sorry. I didn't mean... I just wanted you to see my new Wix kitchen. It's just been installed.
At Wix, our experts will support you every step of the way, from a free kitchen design service through to a professional installation. Plus, right now, find big savings in the Wix kitchen sale. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms apply.
When you go abroad, everyone knows the best way to make yourself understood is to say everything in English, but louder.
Four beers, please, garçon!
Just like when you amplify your advertising with radio. 40 million listeners every week get the message. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Lidl, we value getting you the most out of your money. Like switching from Tesco to Lidl and saving £31 on this week's big shop. See the savings at lidl.co.uk/save and start the new year feeling like a savvy saver. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 5th of the 1st, 26. Tesco also sell other products. See online for more details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34, back to your calls, Julia, in just a moment. But let's go for our city report, which is really now becoming more... This is, of course, the music, but location, 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 as Christian May, the editor-in-chief at City AM, takes us on a tour around his newly purchased home. I think we might now be in the main sitting room. I'm not sure. I'm very excited. I look forward to getting to one of the bedrooms, of course, as long as Lady May is not déshabillée. I wouldn't want that. Christian May joins me now. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, I'm thinking of starting to sell some tickets for a tour of this new gaff, but we do have a little bit of DIY to tend to first, and I'm running out of spaces to show you that aren't mostly boxes. But I appreciate your interest,
yes.
And I look forward to the full housewarming party.
Yes, indeed, and I think I'm providing the Aldi champagne, as I recall. Right, let's talk about the front page stories. Rachel Reeves, story broken by my colleague Natasha Clark, of course, about the pubs. Christian.
Yeah, LBC have been right on this story, and I have to say it's an extraordinary mess. The anger that has poured into my inbox from not just pub owners who have said, why have you marched us up this hill, and you're now sort of throwing us a bone, to mix my metaphors, but of course many other parts of the of our high street and of the economy. So just to recap, the government said in the budget that they will be lowering business rates for hospitality industries and retail across the country, and everyone said, thank goodness for that. Then it turned out that some sneaky maths meant that actually, on the whole, they were going to be going up dramatically for almost everyone. Huge protests, and it was pubs, which have, you know, a pretty particular place in the heart of many of us, as a country, who led the charge against this, because they're having a difficult time as it is. But the government have now said, okay, we get it. Faced with the threat of publicans and landlords marching through London like the farmers did, and faced with a barrage of concern delivered to the Treasury via Labour MPs, who have got plenty of pubs in their own constituencies, the Chancellor now appears poised to throw perhaps up to £500 million worth of cash at the problem to make it go away. Just for pubs. Well, and this is just no way to run a country. It's no way to run business, treat businesses or treat people. And whilst publicans might say, thank you for listening to our concerns, by the way, we've got plenty more, I've got now emails and messages flooding in from people who run restaurants, hotels, cafes and shops saying, what about us? Mm. We're still on the hook. So it's an unbelievable mess of the Treasury's own making. Reports saying that the Treasury was blindsided by the backlash. Well, how can you be blindsided if you're going to sneakily announce that someone's tax bill is going up as a business from £50,000 to £100,000? How can you possibly be blindsided by that? It's extraordinary political and economic incompetence. It's not the first U-turn from this government. It's only a month or so on, couple of months on from the budget, and I don't think that they're going to win many favours by simply trying to target a particular sector for some support to help bail out of a problem that they made in the first place whilst leaving many other businesses on the hook. So I'm afraid this is just going to be a problem that continues to run for the government.
And we will run with more of that story in the next hour. Let's move to other city matters. Jingle Tills for Marks and Sparks.
Yes, they've been after a bit of good news, and in the run-up to Christmas, they found some. Shares were up yesterday about 5%, closed up yesterday 5%, after they reported their Christmas retail period, in which food was their highlight. A Christmas spending spree on their sparkling wine and party food helped take those sales up about 6.6% on the quarter. They sold about 60 million items of Christmas products, and grocery categories up about just under 3%. On the other hand, their clothing sales did not perform so well. They said that they still had some stock issues following that cyber attack, what they called the incident earlier last year. They also pointed out that there was a slightly suppressed demand and reduced footfall on the high street. So that sort of echoes some of the concerns that Next, which we were discussing earlier this week, have also highlighted that they do see some trouble on the horizon. Just take a quick look at retailers in general. I see Sainsbury's have just reported as well. They didn't have quite such a smashing Christmas period. The fastest growing online food retailer was Ocado's. This is for the Christmas period. The fastest growing physical store sales were in Lidl. Next had the strongest non-food performance. Tesco retained its largest market share and Aldi recorded a record total spend. So the dust will settle on all these different retailers' performances and we'll see where they all stay on the start line as the start of 2026.
It's that champagne I bought again. I knew I was helping them out. Lastly, Keir Starmer is very keen to get closer to European Union, as are, of course, a lot of other agencies and folk in this country. But one particular group are not that keen. I speak of
the City of London, the Square Mile, financial services. This is such an interesting story. It's on the front page of the FT, and credit to them for asking these questions. I wish it had occurred to me, I must be honest, because the government has been making a big noise about how it wants closer relationships with the European Union, talk about elements of the single market, of the regulatory landscape, some enthusiasts talking about rejoining the customs union. Now, that's a political debate in Westminster, and there are some sectors, agriculture and food, etc., who probably welcome a little bit more of what they call alignment with the EU. But I remember when I was at CCM at the height of the Brexit referendum and the fallout and the deals and all of that chaos, the City of London was really one of the leading voices saying, for God's sake, please keep us close as possible to the EU. And the government said, no, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. What's happened since then is that the City of London, which remains Europe's financial services capital by undisputed margin, has forged its own path. They've deviated away from the EU in a number of key areas. The city is doing very well. It's certainly not doing anywhere near as badly as some of the doom-mongering suggested it would in the immediate wake of the Brexit vote, and they have found their own way in the world. So the idea that the government would now force them to get back into bed with European Union rules for financial services is rather horrifying to plenty of people in the city to whom the FT have spoken, and we've spoken to some ourselves as well who echo this, and saying, we don't need this. We have made our own path. We found our own way in the world. We've deviated on some good areas of regulation in financial services. And we really don't want to be part of any move to take us back closer to the European Union. The government say that they do recognise that, and they don't intend to put financial services on the table when they renegotiate their relationship with the EU. But it's a fascinating about turn. But it's, you know, just shows how pragmatic the city is and how important it is and how powerful it is and how capable it is in finding its own way in the world.
Christian, thank you for that. Enjoy your weekend. I look forward to seeing you in the garden shed on Monday. Christian Mayer's editor-in-chief at City AM. The time is 7:40. Julian, I will come to you for your call, but it is a related business story. I'm going to stay with that if I can and pick up on this idea. We've heard already that we've already told you that stores such as Greggs now saying they're suffering as a result of these weight jabs. Indeed, companies such as Marks and Spencers and the Co-op now launching ranges of nutrient-dense food, because they say some of their customers are obviously not eating as much, so they want to get the nutrients into them. Well, let's turn to an expert in this field. Paul Foster is a Michelin star chef turned content creator, but he had to close his fine dining restaurant Salt in Stratford-upon-Avon last year and joins me now. Thanks for coming on, sir. What do you, as a chef and a former restaurateur, what do you notice about this increasing, what seems to be fixation with Ozempic, Mounjaro and these drugs? Morning to you.
Morning, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
Not at all.
Well, what I noticed anecdotally matches the data, really. More and more people requesting smaller portions, or they were eating out less. And when they did eat out, they were wanting smaller portions. And then in my area of hospitality, which is a smaller niche area within Michelin star and taster menu, it's not something that we really do. It's, you know, not healthy food. It's flavoursome. It's delicious. It's food that's meant for special occasions. So adapting that is very difficult. I mean, it's a cultural shift, something that the industry has to adapt for, because it's something that the government can't directly control. But, I mean, there's said to be about 2.5 million people on the jabs, which is, 5% of the adult population. So that's a huge, huge shift. And, you know, unfortunately, something you have to look at as a restaurateur.
Paul, you won't be surprised to hear I'm no stranger to restaurants. If you can see me on the video screen, I enjoy it. I tell you what I have noticed now in restaurants in London is that often people, I'm going to call it a doggy bag. I'm sure you have something far grander than that. But they buy a nice meal, a big bowl of pasta or whatever it might be. They can't actually finish it. So some really nice restaurants now accept that they're going to get them like one of those plastic takeaway trays and you take it home for dinner or whatever it might be.
And that was something that, very begrudging. We, as chefs, we're very stubborn.
I know, I can imagine.
It's all about us and our egos. So it's difficult to send your food away. And there's also sort of food safety implications of that as well. If people aren't reheating it properly, you know, you can have food poisoning, etc. So there's a lot of different things to consider with sending food away. It's something I can... I can empathise with. I've lost 4 stone myself this year, but naturally.
Oh, well done. So, gosh.
I think that's from lack of stress of owning a restaurant, personally. But so I can appreciate where people are coming from and being more health conscious. But for me, restaurants like this are a special occasion thing, and you don't really want to change that if you're going out for a grand 3, 4, 5 hour experience.
Lastly, got to get a word from you on what we understand will be the U-turn from the Chancellor on pubs and people in, perhaps not in your sector so much now, you're no longer a restaurateur, but people with hotels, with restaurants, with cafes saying, well, hang on, what about the rest of us? A word from you on that before I let you go, Paul.
And I think there needs to be a massive, massive switch, to be honest. The hospitality industry brings in $90 billion to the UK economy, and it's just getting harder and harder. And when the government put more and more pressure on with business rates and tax and all these costs, pubs are closing at an alarming rate, and that'll just impact every other area of the hospitality industry. But it impacts the high end, the mid end and the low end. And it's a very tragic at the moment. I'm not directly in the industry anymore, but I have been since I was 5 years old. I love the industry, and we need it to continue.
Paul, join speaking with you. Thank you. Look after yourself, sir. Paul Foster, Michelin star chef turned content creator, 744. Julia in Bromley, you want a comment on the shooting in Minneapolis. Julia, what do you want to tell us? Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I find the whole thing totally shocking. But I think my takeaway from all of it is the gradual acceptance over the last 10 years of when you can see something videoed, recorded, clearly in front of you, and everybody all around the world will see these videos of this lady getting in her car, moving away from the ICE agents and them shooting her. But the really, really terrifying thing is that now people will come along, look at that video, and say that didn't happen. And I think we kind of assumed with human psychology 20 years ago that if you were presented with the facts, that there would be no way of getting out of that. And I think somewhere along the line, and I think the Trump administration would have to bear some responsibility for this, is that arguing with the truth has become increasingly normal.
Don't you think social media plays a role in that, though, Julia?
Social media is massively responsible, because you are constantly, the amount of times that I have been given a quarter of a story or a tenth of a story, I will then think about it as if I have the whole picture, as will many other people. And then you will come back to it if you are lucky enough, and you will deep dive into the actual facts, and you will find out that actually that was only a minuscule part of it that sounds ridiculous or terrifying. But in, like so many things that have been put on social media, especially young people, I'm constantly reminding my children in their 20s, you have to do research. You can't just go with the first big headline or the biggest voice. You actually have to go away and look at it in the round. And that is good quality journalism, proper investigation into the facts. This just seems to have gone out of fashion.
Well, it was a rush to judgment. I mean, I don't think the poor woman was probably even at the funeral home before everyone had decided exactly what had happened. And I think that is in part 24-hour media, so I'm partly guilty, but very much, of course, social media as well. We've all decided what's right and what's wrong without actually studying anything. Judy, you make some very good points. I had to leave it there because we're late already. It's jumbo time, 7:47. Let's get the latest news headlines on LBC. Dominic Ellis.
Storm Goretti has brought powerful winds and heavy snow to the UK overnight, as tens of thousands of people are without power. Two people are in hospital after being shot by US federal agents in Portland. And a group of MPs say some people are waiting more than a year to have their disability benefits claims processed. LBC weather. Storm Goretti slowly moving away from the UK, but rain and snow showers continuing for eastern England, a high of 8 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are queues on the M2 westbound to Junction 5 at Sittingbourne. It's because a tree has fallen into the road and the motorway is partially blocked. Severe delays on the A40 westbound to the Greenford flyover because of emergency works, and only one lane is open. And also long queues on the A4 eastbound from the Hogarth roundabout at Chiswick to the Hammersmith flyover, and that's following an accident. On the Underground, the Piccadilly line is suspended between King's Cross and Cockfosters, and there are severe delays on the Victoria line. And minor delays on the Waterloo and City. On the train, southeastern services are delayed by about half an hour via Ashford International, and that's following a signal failure, so do allow yourself extra time.
This is LBC.
Get as much cash as you get your hands on and meet me at the Halsey.
Marty Supreme is nominated for 3 Golden Globes, including Best Motion Picture, Best Screenplay, and Best Actor Timothée Chalamet.
It's every man for himself where I come from.
It's the best film of the year. 5 stars, The Telegraph. A masterpiece, IndieWire. 5 stars, The Guardian, Times, and Empire.
I don't think you understand the stakes here.
Timothée Chalamet and Gwyneth Paltrow.
What do you plan to do if this whole dream of yours doesn't work out?
It doesn't even enter my consciousness.
Maybe it should.
Marty Supreme. Cinemas everywhere now.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
New year, new you. Maybe. New year, new car. Definitely. Upgrade your year with a new Vauxhall Frontera Electric or any car from our award-winning range. With 0% APR over 4 years with a minimum 20% deposit and £1,000 off on top of all other offers. That's a resolution worth sticking to. Search Vauxhall today. £1,000 saving on new car orders ends 12th of January 2026. Personal contract purchase, 20% deposit, 18 plus. Subject to status and availability. T's and C's, Stellantis Financial Services.
Private healthcare sounds pricey.
At Benenden Health, it's less than £16 per person per month.
Just for GP calls?
For a 24/7 GP helpline, physio, diagnostics and more. Now, tell me.
All about my medical history?
No. No medical questionnaires or hidden charges. We like to call it
healthcare done different.
Spot on. Benenden Health. Healthcare done different. Fee review periodically. 6-month wait for some services. T&Cs apply. Selected surgical procedures after 6 months. 24 in Northern Ireland. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
The biggest Furniture Village sale of the year is on now, and it's everything you've been waiting for. Early bird offers in the Furniture Village sale end Sunday.
Yep, I'm still dancing. And there's still time to get in tonight's EuroMillions draw. So turn up that dial.
The EuroMillions jackpot is £46 million.
Go on, play on now.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
So, close your eyes. Picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wix to design our new kitchen.
At Wix, we have over 80 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000. And, right now, find big savings in the Wix kitchen sale. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
9 minutes before eight, so were you ready for Goretti? We'll continue to talk about the storm as it fortunately now the worst is over, although if you're listening sort of to a line effectively across the middle of the country, if you're listening to the east of that, I'm afraid you're still going to be in for some rain, but the winds have abated from suggestions confirmed at 99 miles an hour. Suggestions it hit 110 plus. We'll come back to that conversation. So we need some good news, and the government says they've got some. They're talking about how families are around £1,400 better off if taking out a typical mortgage product. More details now for Labour MP, indeed Chair of the Party, Minister Without Portfolio, Anna Turley, who joins him now. Minister, thank you for coming on the show. Run us through these figures that you and your colleagues are putting out this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me on. Yeah, we're really pleased about this news. It's really positive that costs have basically fallen for the average mortgage by almost £1,400 since the election. So that's really important to put money back into people's pockets when they're thinking about, can they save for a holiday? Can they get through, pay the bills? Can they look after their kids, get food on the table? This will make a huge difference. And we know that's working out approximately £114 a month for people that's back in their pockets. When we took power in 2024, the average fixed mortgage was £1,185 per month, and it's now £1,071. So that every penny is going to make a real difference to people at a time where we know people are facing a cost of living challenge. So we're really pleased to see this news today.
But I thought this is down to the Bank of England, which is, of course, independent from the government, isn't it? Have I got that wrong?
Well, no, not at all. I mean, you look at the impact, for example, of Liz Truss's mini-budget.
Oh, God, are we going back? Oh, my God.
I mean, people are still paying the mortgage.
Well, let's go back to Mrs. Thatcher, shall we? I mean, really, are we still going to go back to that, Minister?
Because people are still paying mortgages that had a knock-on effect. You know, if you took out a fixed-rate mortgage, then you're still going to be paying the disastrous, you know, thousands of extra pounds that this trust piled on.
But how is this, if you'll agree, the Bank of England, not the government, sets the interest rate, how can you claim credit? How can the government claim credit for this?
Well, it's part of our broader attempt to manage the economy, stabilise the economy. And this
stabilise the economy? You're aware what the last GDP figure was?
Well, look, you know, we're in a situation where the priority for us is putting money back into people's pockets. So we've been lifting.
No, but you are aware what the last GDP figure was, are you?
Could you tell me, Nick? Do fill me in if you would, yeah.
Okay. I thought perhaps you might have known that, seeing as you're trumpeting the fact that the Bank of England had brought our mortgages down. Last GDP figure, the economy contracted by 0.1%. So how are you telling me that things are only going great financially? I don't get it.
Well, the reality is it's about what people can feel in their pockets, and that's the priority for us. So when I think about somebody waking up in the morning and they've got to get their kids to school, we're thinking about the investment in across everything from public services. So say, for example, yes, someone...
Getting their children to school might involve bus and train travel. Those prices have gone up as well.
We've frozen those...
Well, not in parts of London. Train travel will increase, of course.
Across the country, it's really important that we're freezing train fares, we're freezing prescription charges, we're putting in more nursery care for people, 30 hours free nursery care, we're bringing in breakfast clubs to help that mum get her kids to school so that she can then get to work. These are the things that are having a huge impact on people's lives, more universal free school meals, these are bringing up, say, the minimum wage. This is really making an impact to people's lives, and that's our priority, getting more money.
You will be aware, Minister, not everyone has a mortgage, not everyone can afford to buy a house. A lot of people are, as you're probably aware, in rental. A lot of people, sadly, can't even get a home. So how are they being assisted by a government that's allowed growth to contract by 0.1% and business confidence to an all-time low last autumn?
One of the things we've done, particularly for renters, people who are renting, is bring our renters' rights bill, which is giving people more security. So making sure people can't just be turfed out of their home at a moment's notice, that rents can't be driven up. We're putting in those protections and measures to support people while we take the broader steps to stabilise the economy, to grow the economy. We've seen...
But you're not growing the economy. I'm sorry to counter you. You're not. It's going backwards. It contracted. I'm surprised you didn't know that figure. It's going backwards, Minister.
We've seen wages rise more under this government than they did in under 10 years under the Conservatives. And that's the reality that people see and feel in their pockets. It's about giving them money to spend.
Do you honestly think my listeners feel better off currently, Minister?
And I know it's a really challenging time for people. And I'm not going to lie to that. You know, I live and breathe in my community and I talk to people all the time. I know things are really tough. But the reality is, you know, we have a huge amount of work to do. People voted not just to get more money into their pockets, but to turn around public services as well. We know the NHS was on its knees, so we had to do a stabilising budget that invests in our public services. We've got to sort out everything from special educational needs in schools to, say, helping children get to school, not be hungry. You know, this is the scale of what we're having to deal with. Revitalising communities by investing where areas have had no investment, with no play parks, no street furniture. There is a huge amount to be done to rebuild the social and public infrastructure in this country, and that's what our priority has been as a government.
Last minute or so together, Minister, you mentioned the budget. Can you confirm now that the government is to U-turn over this additional pub tax, or hospitality tax, as it's called?
Well, I can absolutely confirm the Chancellor has commissioned some work to examine this and work with the sector to do that. So I'm afraid I'm not au fait with the specifics of what's going to be announced, and it's important that we get that
right. Why didn't she commission that prior to announcing the moves? Why announce this, and then I read, because of hostility, you then commission work? Isn't that putting the cart before the horse?
Well, I think, the context that pubs are facing is really, really challenging, because we know they had that independent valuation that's been a huge boost since COVID. So it's important that we get this right. And, so the reality is if we have to, shift our position and reevaluate the support package, and let's not forget, in that budget, we've put in £4.3 billion to support pubs and small businesses to protect them from some of these post-COVID changes. But if more needs to be done, as I said, the Chancellor has commissioned that work.
But why wasn't the work commissioned, I ask again, prior to the budget?
Well, because, so, you know, a huge amount would have been done, of course, but the reality is, you know, we put in place a big package because we knew how difficult and challenging the situation is for pubs in the hospitality sector. And that's why we put in £4.3 billion of support to help people with their bills, to help them, you know, with support. We're looking at everything from kind of regulation, red tape. We're trying to do our best to support small businesses like pubs because we know they're vital for our community and our economy. And the Chancellor wants to make sure that we get this right. So that's why she's commissioned this work and we'll be hearing shortly.
Yes, so if the business rates, if there is a reverse for pubs, you won't be surprised to hear that hoteliers, restaurateurs, those with cafes, those in the hospitality sector, want the same treatment. Can you confirm they'll get it?
I can't confirm that at all, you know, because I say...
Will there be more work done to review that?
Well, the reality is it's challenging for everyone, every sector, every, you know, this is the climate that we're facing, and this government wants to support everyone. The biggest thing we can do,
as
I said...
What about these hoteliers, the restaurateurs and the cafe owners? Are they going to get similar treatment to pub owners?
We have to look at that. But say the reality for now is that we want to support every small business, whatever sector they're in. I mean, I live here in an industrial area where we have to support also the chemical industry, you know, the steel sector. We have to, the automotive sector. We had a huge budget to try and get the economy back on its feet. And the priority for us is getting more money in people's pockets, because if people have money in their pockets, they can go out and spend it on a Friday night in these pubs, in these restaurants. Right. And that's a priority for us.
Lastly, a number of the newspapers, Minister, detail the amount of U-turns we've had under your relatively new government. Family farm tax, increasing income tax, welfare reforms, employment rights bill, pubs as well. Do you get giddy with all these U-turns?
Well, this policy always changes and develops over time, and nothing is ever set in aspect. And I think it's really easy just to say, well, this is a U-turn. I don't buy that. Policies shift.
Sorry, you don't see this pubs as a U-turn?
No, it's about getting the policy right. And this is always going to happen. Government and policymaking is a moving feast all the time. You're going to shift, you're going to change. You've got to listen to people. And our priority is to listen to our constituents, listen to businesses, and make sure that we get things right.
So telling the sector their business rates are going to rise and then telling them they're not, that's not a U-turn in your book.
Their business rates are independently valued. So that was going to happen as a result of coming out of COVID. Plus, the relief that we put in place for COVID was going to come to an end. So and we've moved, you know, a lot in the budget to try and support them through this process. If more needs to be done, we'll look at that. And we keep every policy under review. And it's a sign of a confident government that is willing to listen to the public, take the right decisions, and not just plough on ideologically,
To make sure it's right. Okay, I don't know. I'm about to ask my listeners. But you will say a government that's committed or performed 11 U-turns is a government that's in a position of power and strength, is it, Minister?
Policies change all the time. You know, I don't see every shift in a policy. We can spend the next 3 years calling every shift or slight amendment in a policy a U-turn. I don't think that's fair. Okay. The reality is we have to make sure that we get things right for people, and we always keep our policies under evaluation. That's the right thing to do.
Grateful for your time. Thank you, Labour Party Chair, Minister without portfolio, Anna Turley. Thank you for your input, talking about those mortgages. And taking us to 8 o'clock for the LBC News headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, tens of thousands of homes are without power this morning after Storm Goretti brought heavy snow and powerful winds overnight. The National Grid says more than 60,000 properties are currently without electricity in England and Wales. The southwest of England has been particularly badly affected. LBC's south-west correspondent Andy Ballantyne is following developments.
41,000 households are waking up with no power this breakfast. A record at St Mary's Airport on the Isles of Scilly with a gust of 99 miles per hour officially recorded. But unconfirmed reports of 110 mile per hour gusts at Boss Castle.
Travel's also been disrupted. Birmingham Airport is operating on a reduced basis, while rail services in northern England are facing delays. Amber snow alerts remain in place in the Midlands, Wales and parts of South Yorkshire for at least another hour. Meteorologist Steph Galter has told Nick the storm will weaken, though, by tonight.
The middle of the country there got rain to the east, whereas to the west, the rain and the sleet and the snow, that's all coming to an end now. So slowly, all of that wintry mess is going to edge its way eastwards. It's probably still going to be clinging on to that eastern coast as we head into evening time, but it's gradually now pulling away.
Do stay with LBC for the latest on Storm Goretti. You can read more at lbc.co.uk. Two people have been taken to hospital after being shot by US federal agents in the state of Oregon. It happened during a vehicle stop targeting a passenger linked to a suspected Venezuelan gang. Portland's Democratic mayor has called for immigration agents to suspend all operations in the city while investigations take place. Hospitality groups have welcomed an expected government U-turn on business rate hikes for pubs, saying it will save locals. Some landlords have been warning that their bills will double in April because of changes set out in the budget. It's prompted other business owners, including cafe and restaurant businesses, to call for similar changes. But speaking to Nick in the past few minutes, the chair of the Labour Party, Anna Turley, couldn't say whether they would be extended there.
I can't confirm that at all, you know, because I said...
Will there be more work done to review that?
The reality is it's challenging for everyone, every sector, this is the climate that we're facing, and this government wants to support everyone. The biggest thing we can do,
What about these hoteliers, the restaurateurs and the cafe owners? Are they going to get similar treatment to pub owners?
We have to look at that, but say the reality for now is that we want to support every small business, whatever sector they're in. I mean,
And a group of MPs says some people are waiting more than a year to have their disability benefit claims processed. The Public Accounts Committee has warned that people could be pushed into debt and poverty as a result. It claims the Department of Work and Pensions has failed to meet its target and doesn't have an adequate plan for reducing weights. The DWP has yet to comment. In the city, the FTSE 100 just reopened at 10,044. It closed down 3 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards. Snow showers will linger across eastern England, though. Elsewhere, mix of sunny spells and wintry showers, a high of 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
So you're getting a new pet. You've got bedding. You've got toys. You've got a name. But have you got insurance? Well, if you've got a Tesco Club Card, you'll get a Club Card discount on Tesco Pet Insurance. And all policies include vet phone for peace of mind 24/7. Just search online for Tesco Pet Insurance. Cats and dogs aged 8 weeks or over. Vet phone provided by Vets Direct Limited. Monetary limits, excesses and exclusions apply. Arranged by Pinnacle Insurance Limited.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 5 minutes after 8 on Friday, January the 9th. We are going to discuss this supposed climb down on the pub tax by the Chancellor. We will also pick up on what we've just been told by the chair of the Labour Party, that in fact, almost like the pound in your pocket, we're all doing so much better. Might help, of course, if you're able to have a mortgage, but we'll look at that and see whether that tallies with how you feel. In other news, stern words for the government on a different front, on the field or the focus of defence. Remember, the declaration of intent earlier this week between the Prime Minister, Sir Keir Starmer, and Emmanuel Macron. Well, are British soldiers going to be fired on, and have we actually got enough cash and troops? Former Deputy Supreme Commander of NATO and Europe, General Sir Richard Sheriff, told me earlier this week...
Enforcing peace means being prepared to overmatch the Russians, and that means also being prepared to fight them if necessary.
So we could have British troops firing on Russian military personnel in Ukraine?
We could.
To the field of education. Where's the primary school? I'll say it again, the primary school where teachers are ready to go on strike because of almost daily physical attacks. Yes, a primary school. And to the sphere of university education and the college that's going to now try and offer preferential treatment to private school pupils. Education policy expert Jess Stauffenberg.
Where is your proof that kids are being overlooked because they went to private school when you don't have a policy that says that they will be overlooked?
And back a couple of years to 2024. Do you remember baby Elsa, discovered in a shopping bag in East London on the coldest night of the year then? Chief Superintendent of the Met, Simon Crick, told us at the time.
We were called by a member of the public and their dog who had discovered a newborn baby in a shopping bag at the junction of Greenway and High Street South.
Extraordinary news. Baby Elsa is to be adopted. That's not that extraordinary. But she'll be put in touch with her older siblings who are also abandoned in similar circumstances. We'll give you more details later in the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
To the front pages for the story that was broken by LBC, indeed broken by my colleague from whom you'll hear in just a moment, for the Daily Mail, pub U-turns too little too late, for the Daily Telegraph, Reeves to climb down on pub tax. But just before I introduce Natasha Clark, let's also pick up on what we heard from the chair of the Labour Party, which apparently the economy's going gangbusters and you're all benefiting from lower prices, or at least that's what I heard. But let's go back to the origin of the story. Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor, had that scoop. Just remind us, Natasha, well done, good morning, good to see you. Just remind us, what was it that Rachel Reeves initially proposed that kicked off the storm? Morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, so it looks like from the government another U-turn is on the cards. Now, what we've been hearing about from worried firms and publicans for weeks and weeks and weeks is on business rates changes. So it's going to be the end of those COVID discounts and a re-evaluation of those rates. They're due to come in April. And pubs have been warning they have facing bills of hundreds of thousands of pounds in increases. Labour MPs privately warning and meeting with the Chancellor. And of course, they've all gone back to their constituencies over the Christmas break and really been getting it in the neck from those businesses. And now the news has broken here on LBC that they are going to think again. I was told the Chancellor has commissioned fresh research on pubs before Christmas and how they've been impacted, specifically looking at how the pubs are affected and how their rates are calculated. In the last few minutes, you put that to the Labour Party chair, Anna Turley.
I can't confirm that at all, you know, because I said...
Will there be more work done to review that?
Well, the reality is it's challenging for everyone, every sector, this is the climate that we're facing, and this government wants to support everyone. The biggest thing we can do,
What about these hoteliers, the restaurateurs and the cafe owners? Are they going to get similar treatment to pub owners?
We have to look at that, but say the reality for now is that we want to support every small business, whatever sector they're in. I mean, I live here in an industrial area where we have to support also the chemical industry, you know, the steel sector. We have to, the automotive sector. We've had a huge budget to try and get the economy back on its feet. And the priority for us is getting more money in people's pockets, because if people have money in their pockets, they can go out and spend it on a Friday night in these pubs, in these restaurants. Right. And that's a priority for us.
But Nick, we hear that this is only for pubs. The Manchester Mayor, Andy Burnham, yesterday welcomes the government thinking again. He says, however, it needs to go further.
It's a step, but it may be, again, not all that is needed to shore up the sector. So, you know, they know we'll never stop making that case, because Greater Manchester is based on all of the great things we're doing on industry, but it's also based on a great night out. And that's why people come here. You know, our venues, our pubs, our clubs, our infrastructure, that matters.
And this all kicked off really earlier this week with a celebrity chef, Tom Kerridge, telling us about the scale of the problem. Speaking to LBC last night, he welcomed that news of a U-turn. However, he wants a VAT cut as well.
We welcome that, but that is also a little... That's not support. That's like saying a few months ago, we announced the budget, which meant, like, we know there's an industry that's in trouble. Here's the budget. We're actually going to punch you in the face. Now, a few weeks later, we're saying, actually, no, we won't punch you in the face, but we still know you're in trouble. Whilst we fully welcome the business rates reduction and the understanding of understanding the issue the industry is on, it is the VAT push that we are looking for as an industry. So, it means that they've not made it any worse than it is, but that doesn't make it any better.
And the Tory leader, Kemi Badenoch, told us that this is not going far enough for the other areas that just won't be covered, so restaurants, hotels and others.
Even if they U-turn, it's not going to be enough. What about the restaurants? What about the hotels? It is all the small businesses, hospitality in particular, who have been hit by Rachel Reeves' jobs tax, and now she's taking their rates relief away. It's just terrible.
So, Nick, at the moment, we don't have the detail on exactly what it's going to look like. I'm told it's going to be a redo on how those rates are calculated. But again, we just do not know how far. It sounds like we hear it from the Chancellor as early as next week.
LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, reporting, well, from a celebrity restaurateur to a celebrity publican, James May, presenter, TV's James May, presenter, journalist, best known for work, of course, on shows such as Top Gear and The Grand Tour, also a co-owner of a pub. He joins me now. James, what's the pub called? Morning.
Morning. Morning, sir. It's the Royal Oak in Swallowcliff, South Wiltshire, just off the A30 between Shaftesbury and Salisbury, selling an excellent range of delicious home-cooked food, etc., etc.
It used to be said that owning a football club was a rich man's pleasure. Can I put it to you that owning a pub has to be a rich man or a rich woman's pleasure too? There can't be a lot of dosh in it, James.
There is absolutely no dosh whatsoever. I've never taken a single penny out of the pub, and neither has my co-owner. I've often described it as a very expensive round. But I think there's, in some ways, I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm in a position to be able to co-own a pub, which is obviously a bit of a fantasy for a lot of people, especially older blokes, let's be honest. And I think we have to treat them, they're definitely not charities and they're not institutions. They have to work as pubs, but we can perhaps think of owning them as a bit like having a Victorian folly in your garden or something like that.
So you're fortunate, you're very well known, you've got a tremendous career behind you, but your heart must go out to fellow publicans in and around Swallowcliffe who, mate, they're probably clinging on almost by their fingernails, aren't they?
I think they are, yes, and we've seen a few closures. I mean, I know that... I have to make it absolutely clear, I don't run the Royal Oak. Obviously, I'm a co-owner. We have a proper pub manager. And it's a very difficult job. But I know, because I've seen the spreadsheets, the margins in pubs are tiny. And, you know, one bit of old 18th century thatch falling off, or in our case, having to resurface our gravelly car park, can be enough to push you over the edge. So... I sort of agree with Tom Kerridge. We are supposed to be grateful for not being punched in the teeth, which is a strange situation to be in. I've often taken the view, it's not a very popular one amongst pub owners, to be honest, but I think we do have to stop thinking of pubs as an important part of our heritage or a vital tradition or an institution or an essential part of being British or any of that misty-eyed stuff. They have to work as pubs. They have to be nice places to go. And let's be honest, the role of the pub has changed a bit in my lifetime, and we were probably at a point where we had a few too many. We don't need as many as we did in the 1970s.
Lastly, James, the government stands accused of ignoring publicans and restaurateurs and others. They're tone deaf to the needs of businessmen and business people. Taking on board, you don't manage the pub, but you are the co-owner. You've got, I'm sure, a great team at the Royal Oak. Is that level of criticism fair in your book?
Yes, I think it's probably always been fair. And I don't think governments generally understand running small businesses, especially, particularly well. But also, I don't think we should expect them to. I don't want government interference, and I don't particularly want to see government help with these things. I do want them to not punch us in the face, as Tom was saying, but I don't really look to governments for moral, financial guidance, spiritual guidance, or anything like that. I just want them to organise the hospitals and the park benches and mend the potholes.
Question I never thought I'd ask anybody: how do you distill gin? This is called James's Gin, is that right?
James Gin, yes. Gin is technically, I mean, James Gin started as a bit of an experiment, really, to make a gin for the Royal Oak in Swallowcliffe, just off the A30 between Shaftesbury and Salisbury. But it sort of blew up.
What was that road again? The which?
Just off the A30, just north of the A30.
Oh, I know where
it is. Between Shaftesbury and Salisbury. Yeah, so we made the gin to sell in the pub, but we also put it online because we made slightly too much, and it sold out very quickly. So we kept going, and it's now turned into a proper business. But to answer your question, gin is technically a rectification. It starts off as a neutral grain spirit, which is basically vodka,
right?
Completely flavourless vodka, and then it's redistilled with botanicals,
right,
amongst which has to be juniper in order for it to be gin, and nice, then other things which give it its distinct nose and flavours and all those other things that the drinks board go on about. And at the end of that, you've got gin.
And do you supply Clarkson's Pub with it?
No.
Has he asked?
No.
And what would happen if he did?
Well, you can have some, of course, but I don't serve his lager in my pub, so, it's a stalemate.
Look after yourself. Good speaking with you. Thank you very much. James May, good having you on the show. Of course, known for works on Top Gear, The Grand Tour, but also, I think there's a pub called the Royal Oak, somewhere near Swallowcliffe, near Salisbury. Come more reaction, going to hear from the Heart of London Business Alliance, what it means, and then put into you those comments that apparently, according to that chair of the Labour Party, it's almost, you've never had it so good. 8:16, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Tens of thousands of homes are without power this morning after Storm Goretti brought heavy snow and powerful winds. Two people have been taken to hospital after being shot by US federal agents in the state of Oregon. And speaking to Nick, the chair of the Labour Party has refused to say whether an expected climb down on business rate hikes for pubs will be extended to other parts of the hospitality sector. LBC weather, Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards. Snow showers will linger for eastern England, a high of 8 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are queues on the A40 westbound to the Greenford flyover, and that's because of emergency repair works and only one lane is open. Also, still quite busy on the A4 eastbound up to the Hammersmith flyover after an accident, but all the lanes are now back open. In Fulham, it's busy. Lily Road remains closed eastbound at the Fulham Palace Road junction because of a burst water main. The A13 slow westbound heading up towards Beckton because a van has broken down. On the underground, so many problems this morning. Severe delays on the Jubilee, Piccadilly and Victoria lines, and minor delays on the Waterloo and City line. And on the train, southeastern services are delayed by about half an hour via Ashford International, and that's following a signal failure.
This is LBC.
Save up to 50% in the Dunelm sale.
Go on, get even more savings in your life with brilliant offers on thousands of products. Now with new lines added and further reductions too. And breathe. Save up to 50% in-store and online now. Dunelm, the home of homes.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
You just get it right, the customer service, the sort of communication. You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? 8 years running.
At Lidl, we value getting you the most out of your money. Like switching from Tesco to Lidl and saving £31 on this week's big shop. See the savings at lidl.co.uk/save and start the new year feeling like a savvy saver. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 5th of the 1st 26. Tesco also sell other products. See online for more details.
Early Bird offers end Sunday in the biggest Furniture Village sale of the year. Save even more on sofas, dining, beds and bedroom furniture. And that's on top of sale prices. But hurry, Early Bird offers end this Sunday at Furniture Village, a world-class family business.
A Southern Train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out, sit back. And when you hear "all change, please," you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advance tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
Let's broaden the conversation out as regards the whole hospitality sector. It looks like relief is on the way for publicans, but what of restaurateurs, cafe owners, hoteliers? Ross Morgan, CEO of Heart of London Business Alliance. Now, they act for more than 500 businesses in the heart of London's West End and joins me now. Thank you for hanging on. I hope I've not inconvenienced your morning by my extended conversation with James May. Well, we'll talk a little bit about pubs, but I'm thinking of the West End and the restaurants that I go to and the cafes and indeed the hotels. What will they be saying to you? Ross, morning.
Good morning. As you can imagine, they will also be asking, and they have been asking for help for some time now. I think the big challenge here is that you cannot fix this problem one sector or one business at a time. And that's what government seems to try to do. So those who shout the loudest, they then react and respond to it. And, you know, in fairness to the pubs, they've done an excellent job. That will be followed by hotels. What comes next? And I think the reality is that all businesses need a lifeline at this point in time, especially the pubs. I recognise that. But we need the entire ecosystem to work. And the single biggest problem is government is trying to add sticky plasters rather than actually commit to their manifesto pledge, which was to reform business rates. And we have a solution for that. And we've been engaging with government on that.
You talk about a lifeline. In your view, how many of the issues, how much of the dilemma in which many businesses find themselves is of the government's own making? I point out, because obviously they can't control overall costs. I understand that. But things such as national insurance and others, surely they're an architect of their own misfortune here.
Absolutely. And it's also about the timing. So, you know, businesses have faced the wage increases, the national insurance hikes, etc. Those were introduced by government. Now, most businesses, they will want to employ good people and they will want to pay them good money. but it's the combination of all of these things happening at the same time. So that was only a few months ago, and now on top of that, and some are still struggling and still in survival mode post-pandemic, and now on top of that, you've got these huge hikes that are just unsustainable for businesses, and we're just seeing more and more, unfortunately, businesses closing. So the headlines that say that it's a U-turn too late, that's because we've had hundreds of thousands of people lose their jobs as a consequence of the decisions the government have made over the last year and the forthcoming decisions. They have to fix this system once and for all.
Ross, thanks again for your time this morning. I hope I haven't inconvenienced your day by getting to you a little later than we planned. Ross Morgan, CEO of Heart of London Business Alliance, acting for around 500 businesses in the heart of London's West End. Guy, I'm going to take your call on that in a moment, but I just want to come back to something we heard about half an hour ago, a little under half an hour ago. I was speaking with the Labour Party Chair, Minister Without Portfolio, Anna Turley, and she told me how the government is making life better.
Well, the reality is it's about what people can feel in their pockets, and that's the priority for us. So when I think about somebody waking up in the morning and they've got to get their kids to school, we're thinking about the investment in across everything from public services. So say, for example, yes, someone...
Getting their children to school might involve bus and train travel. Those prices have gone up as well.
We've frozen those...
Well, not in parts of London. Train travel will increase, of course.
Look, across the country, it's really important that we're freezing train fares, we're freezing prescription charges, we're putting in more nursery care for people, 30 hours free nursery care, we're bringing in breakfast clubs to help that mum get her kids to school so that she can then get to work. These are the things that are having a huge impact on people's lives, more universal free school meals, these are bringing up, the minimum wage. This is really making an impact to people's lives.
Perhaps I've been out in the cold too long, but that's not the United Kingdom I recognise currently. Is it the one you recognise, Guy and Cleethorpes? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. It's interesting. You don't need coffee to get your energy levels up in the morning. You just need to listen to a minister on your show.
What's she done to your adrenaline and all your blood pressure then, Guy?
Well, apart from just coming on with a script and not knowing any of the detail, it just wasn't believable. I mean, it became apparent quite quickly that Labour didn't have a plan when they came into power.
Yeah.
But the problem is, they still haven't. And they float policies into the press and see what the reaction's like. And then they put the policies in place. And then they do U-turns. I mean, to be honest, when you took the list out, I mean, it's nearly one a month.
It is extraordinary. They're at 11 now, and they've only been in power for, what, about 18-something months or whatever it might be, 20 months.
And they make a virtue of the fact, we just listen to the people, so we're changing it. No, I don't want that. I want them to get it right first time. That's what businesses do.
And lastly, for the chair of the Labour Party to come on and say how they're fixing the economy, not to know that growth is actually contracting, I found extraordinary.
Oh, I know. And freezing rail fares and, we're doing this and that. And obviously mortgages are all, it's all about what the government's done.
Well, of course, it's, as anyone knows, it's the Bank of England that sets that. They're completely apart. And how the government can try... And not everyone is wealthy enough to buy a house, for God's sake. They need to understand that as well.
And rentals are going up. I mean, the reality is it's farcical what they come on with. Most of the politicians that come on, they've got no idea.
Sorry what it does for your blood pressure. There'll probably be another one on Monday, and I hope you'll be listening. Have a good and hopefully warm weekend, Guy. Thank you for that. Let's go to other matters, and one of the other front pages that I discussed, which is the Times newspaper. Britain's most senior military chief warning Sir Keir Starmer the Ministry of Defence is short of £28 billion over the next 4 years. There's not going to be a real terms lift in spending until around the mid-2030s currently. And, of course, we saw earlier this week the Prime Minister, alongside Emmanuel Macron, sign this declaration of intent to commit troops as peacekeeping forces. How many, they won't tell us. But bear in mind, if the figure is 7,500, which is what's been mooted, actually, and military experts will tell you this, you need three times that number, because you need that number who are there, that number who are being readied, and that number who have come back and are being rested, or whatever it might be. That's 22,000. We've only got 72,000 troops in the British Army, 20% of whom are declared operationally unfit. So where do you think he's going to get it all from? Sir Gavin Williamson is a Conservative MP and, of course, served as Defence Secretary. Good to have you on, Sir Gavin. You will have watched events in Paris, as I'm sure, earlier this week, and you'll be picking up on a lot of military experts, blokes such as General Sir Richard Sheriff, someone you probably know very well. What are you taking from these former military blokes' warnings and worries? Morning to you.
Well, what they're quite simply saying is that there's going to have to be a lot more spending, a lot quicker than what is currently planned. And the scale and reality of the threat that we're facing is just increasing every single year. And if you're going to make a commitment like has been made to Ukraine, which is something that I think most of us would very much support, those soldiers have to be properly supported. And in reality, even 7,500 soldiers, which is a large number, is nowhere near the level of numbers that you're going to need in order to have an effective deterrence in Ukraine.
What needs to be done now? Because you'll know as well as anybody, you can't suddenly switch on the supply of tanks, other kit and military personnel.
No, so promises have to be moved into cold, hard cash. Treasury will be resisting this like anything else. They'll be trying to push it further and further off. But there's going to have to be the cash that starts flowing in because orders have got to be placed. And it's not just about kit. It's about people. Because if you're going to grow the size of your armed forces, and frankly, the amount of growth that's been talked about is just such minuscule numbers. They need to be grown so much more significantly. The army needs to be grown not to the sort of late, the high 70,000s. It's got to be absolutely a minimum of 100,000. And also a matching growth in our reserve forces as well. All of this takes not just months, it takes years. And that's why the cash has got to be committed, it's got to be there, and the MOD has to have the ability to spend it. And there's a real crisis in the Army, the Navy and the Air Force because they need the money.
But that crisis, many would argue, is an inheritance of the 14 years of mostly Conservative cold administration, Sir Gavin.
I recognise that actually over quite a number of decades, not just the last Conservative government, but the last Labour government, there's always been a tendency to take money away from defence. That sort of started to change, and, you'll probably remember the times that I was occasionally in battles, Nick, with the Treasury, because the Treasury does like to take a little bit of cash out of the MOD, and, that has happened for far too long. As I say, under all governments it's been happening. But we're in a different world now. And we've seen with the invasion of Ukraine, you've seen with Putin's threats, you've seen with the rise of China and their ambitions. These are threats that have been on the horizon, and some of us have been talking about for quite a long time. But we've got to be taking action, and the money's got to flow into the three services across defence. But also we've got to be more realistic and honest with the British people about the true level of threat that we're facing today.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, honesty. You won't need reminding that we were told that we would go into Afghanistan by Dr. John Reid without a shot being fired. We were told we would go to Iraq and find weapons of mass destruction. Sir Keir is telling us we will send personnel into Ukraine. And we're hearing from Russia that they will be deemed as axis of war and they will be fired at. How nervous does that make you?
It makes me very nervous, and I think it makes me I think you should make us all very realistic of what we're entering into. And 7,500 soldiers, they often refer to it as a tethered goat strategy in terms of there's just not really the number there to be a true deterrent. We've got to be thinking about what it was like during the Cold War when we had the army on the Rhine in Germany. And there you weren't talking about 7,500 personnel. You're talking about tens and tens of thousands of personnel stationed in Germany to act as a deterrent. If we're wanting to have a deterrent in Ukraine, that is what we've got to be looking at committing to. And that is the scale that we've got to be doing. But that is a total different way of thinking, and that's not what's happening at the moment. And nor is Keir Starmer and others being honest enough with the British people to say that is what is going to be needed in order to secure and underpin the peace that we all want to see right across Europe as we stand up against totalitarian regimes such as Putin.
Finally, a word on a story I'm about to come to, Sir Gavin. You're not aware of this, but you served as Education Secretary. Teachers at two primary schools in Greater Manchester have been driven to take strike action because of almost daily attacks by pupils. I repeat, primary schools. A word on that as a former Education Secretary, Sir Gavin.
what you've got to have is you've got to have strong discipline in all schools. You cannot tolerate misbehaviour. I think you've seen since the Labour government's come in, there's a slackening in approach. They don't want people to be excluded from schools. Head teachers have to have a right to exclude pupils from schools. If they don't, then you have poor discipline and all children suffer.
Grateful for your time today, Sir Gavin. Happy New Year to you and your family. Thank you, Sir Gavin Williamson, Conservative MP, both former Defence Secretary and Education Secretary. Come to your reaction on that. You've never had it so good, according to the chair of the Labour Party, and also that concerns, I would suggest, that they just have no strategy as regards this peacekeeping force. 8:32, Breakfast with me, Nick Farrar on LBC. Let's get those news headlines from Dominic Ellis.
Tens of thousands of homes are without power this morning after Storm Goretti brought heavy snow and powerful winds overnight. The National Grid says more than 60,000 properties are currently without electricity in England and Wales. Travel's also been disrupted. Birmingham Airport is operating on a reduced basis, while rail services are also facing delays in the north of England. Amber snow alerts remain in place for the Midlands, Wales and parts of South Yorkshire for the next 30 minutes. Do stay with LBC for the very latest. Two people are in hospital after being shot by US federal agents in Portland. It comes a day after a federal immigration officer shot and killed Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis. And speaking to Nick, the chair of the Labour Party has refused to say whether an expected U-turn on business rate hikes for pubs will be extended to other businesses. Anna Turley has told LBC that ministers are looking to get money back in people's pockets in order to boost towns and high streets. LBC weather: Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards. Some snow showers will linger, though, across eastern areas of England. Sunny spells and wintry showers elsewhere. A high of 8 degrees.
On the latest episode of The News Agents,
we will be talking about that fatal shooting in Minnesota. How can it be that both sides rush to judgment straight away before waiting for a single bit of evidence? And is more violence exactly what Donald Trump wants?
Get the latest episode of The News Agents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Get as much cash as you get your hands on and meet me at the Halsey.
Marty Supreme is nominated for 3 Golden Globes, including Best Motion Picture, Best Screenplay, and Best Actor Timothée Chalamet.
It's every man for himself where I come from.
It's the best film of the year. 5 stars, The Telegraph. A masterpiece, IndieWire. 5 stars, The Guardian, Times, and Empire.
I don't think you understand the stakes here.
Timothée Chalamet and Gwyneth Paltrow.
What do you plan to do if this whole dream of yours doesn't work out?
It doesn't even enter my consciousness.
Maybe it should.
Marty Supreme. Cinemas everywhere now.
Wrap up with great savings in a Vodafone winter sale. Get reliable full fibre broadband from only £24 per month. Hurry, this amazing deal ends the 28th of January. Plus, switching is easy with one-touch switch. So, go online or in-store today. Vodafone.
Was £26 per month on a 24-month contract, subject to credit check acceptance and availability. Terms at vodafone.co.uk/terms.
Business healthcare sounds pricey.
At Benenden Health, it's less than £16 per employee per month, which
will go up when people use it.
Actually, no. We don't do price hikes each time our services are used. Just
medical questionnaires for everyone.
No. And it's quick and easy to join.
Sounds great. I'm in.
Benenden Health. Healthcare done different. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Selected surgical procedures. Immediate access for businesses. Wait periods apply for personal membership. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:35. Steve, coming to you, you'll be the first caller, but I'm acutely aware I don't think I've featured many. I don't know if I've featured any, actually, of your notes that are coming in on email and text. So let's do some of this. We've heard that apparently we're all doing so well in the country. Roger in Brentwood was listening. The cost of running my taxis increased. Higher council test costs, extra tests, an increase from 2 to 3 a year, increased cost of annual medical, increase in fuel, drop-off charges at airports. Do I go on? When I hear a government spokesperson spouting this rubbish, it makes me really angry. These idiots don't seem to realise that. I'm afraid, and I don't wish to be personal, and I'm not going to be personal about the chair of the Labour Party for one moment, but I'm afraid as a political stance, people are pretty angry with what you were telling me. Tim says, what the hell is she talking about? We're being taxed to the hilt. Tom in Brixton, this is drivel. The government seems to think if they can talk about growth and say there's more money in our pocket, it becomes true. The reality is the opposite. They are lying to our faces, and this is becoming embarrassing. Andy says, this is just like the Tories talking absolute rubbish. John says, that showcased the government's zero idea about the economy. Do keep them coming. We're talking pubs, Steve in Derby. Is it the right decision? Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. It was just a quick thought on the whole pub situation.
Yes,
I do understand that, you know, these businesses, they need the business rate relief to help them out, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
But I think the actual pub business as a whole is just a declining economy.
Well, I mean, James May, who co-owns one, says that they need to adapt. I mean, if you go to his mate Jeremy Clarkson's pub, you can't get in the door.
Well, exactly. Well, the problem with pubs is they always used to live on the social sort of norm of, you know, that in society the man would work, he would then earn the money, come home, go to the pub for a few hours, relax, and then the wife and the children would stay at home, and the wife would stay at home. And I think nowadays life has evolved a lot more. Life is a lot more 50-50. Blokes don't have that time to just go down to the pub for 3 hours and spend that money. So I think they need to evolve into more of a...
That's an interesting one. That, do you think then that working women don't go and blow off steam in a pub in the same way as perhaps working blokes once did or do?
No.
Why is that?
I think it's just society. I think you're obviously always going to get a few that do, but I don't think they make up the sort of downfall of the blokes that don't go to the pub as much as they used to.
Okay, time for honesty. I go to restaurants a lot and bars. I can't remember the last time I went into a pub, an actual pub. Genuinely. Isn't that awful? What about, are you a regular pub user?
No. Not in the slightest. The only time I... There's a lot of the pubs run by me. I finish work at 6 o'clock. A lot of them then don't allow children into the pub after 7, 8 o'clock.
Oh, right. Mm.
So, you know, and if I'm going to go out and spend, you know, my hard-earned money, I want to be able to do that with a family.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
You know, so the only ones I will ever sort of step foot in are maybe like restaurant ones.
Yeah, like a gastro.
If I'm out doing food in the evening. Yeah. Exactly. And I think they will always... You know, I think there's a market for that side of things.
Yeah.
I think they need to evolve a bit more with the times.
Steve, safe drinking, as and when you do go. Look after the family this weekend. That's a shocker. I'm sitting here racking my brains, and I don't want to go on too long because it's desperately boring hearing someone on the radio say, I can't remember when I last went to the pub. But when you consider, I lived my entire life in pubs. Because when I was on a local newspaper in Woolwich, it was the Director General. I don't think it's even there anymore, the Director General. Then you come to the... when I was on the Mirror, it was the White Swan. That's definitely not there. The White Hart, I think that's gone. Then the Sun, there was the Tipperary on Fleet Street. I think that's gone. I think the Harrow's still in existence. When are they all gone? When did I... I'll have a think while I chat to Andrew in Benfleet. What are you going to tell me about pubs, Andrew? When did I last go?
All right, Nick, thanks for putting me on. I've waited over an hour, but I don't mind.
Well, I'm very sorry about that. It's been jolly busy. No, there's a lot going on, sir, anyway, but we've come to you now. Go ahead.
What I want to say, right,
yes,
with regards to the U-turn,
yes, sir,
it isn't going to make any difference to the actual punter that goes into the pub, because it ain't going. They're not going to put the beer down. It's still going to be between £5 and £7 a pint.
Is that how much a pint... I don't drink beer. Is that how much a pint of beer is? £7?
It's between £5 and £7 a pint. And it's because of the national wage rise. And that is across the board. It's not only the bar staff.
Yeah, but we had just had the chair of the Labour Party...
that works in those pubs.
We've just had the chair of the Labour Party telling us that they're putting pounds back in our pockets. Does it feel like that for you?
Well, I don't see how they're putting pounds back. I mean, if we used to go down the pub, you probably think about years ago, if you go with a few blokes...
Yep.
Well, let's say it was £3.50 a pint, or £3 a pint, say that.
Okay, go on.
Well, right, you would have a round, wouldn't you? You say, what do you want? Okay, it's my round, I'll get a round. But
yeah,
now you can't do that now, £7 a pint, then, yeah.
Well, that's going to be, if they're 5 or 6, that's going to be about £40 or something in that region, I would
say. Yeah, £40 a round. My two sons, they're the same, they don't buy rounds anymore. Now, can I just go on to two pubs what I want to talk about, Nick? Just two pubs, I'll be very quick about it. Right.
Go ahead.
Witherspoons. Great pub, nice and cheap, but they're bloody boring. They're bloody boring because there's no music. You can't go in there and make a friend, a local, because it just doesn't work in there.
What makes... Okay, lastly, Andrew, I'm going to ask you for two things. I don't mean prices. Two things that make a great pub. Obviously, you like a bit of music. What else makes a great pub? Funny things on the wall, nice welcoming staff.
People going in there, people tell jokes. I mean, let me tell you about another pub, right? I'm going to name it. It's called Riley's.
Right, okay.
Riley's, you know Riley's. They've diversified.
Didn't they used to have snooker tables?
They've now got snooker tables They've got pool tables. They've got darts. They've got other games.
And it's working.
I went down there last Saturday for the first time in about 6 months. It was absolutely ran.
Good.
Now all of those people in there, Nick, they was all between 25 and 35. There wasn't many elderly in there because they can't afford to go and pay £7 a pint, can they?
No, they can't. We're back to that £7 a pint. Glad we got you on, Andrew. Safe drinking to you. This comes in from Greg in Dorset. We're in the middle of nowhere in North Dorset. There are several pubs that they've all changed into gastro pubs. Tailoring to a certain class. There's little to do most days. A good normal pub for working people is essential for everyone's social needs. What are the key ingredients of a good pub, would you say? What would it be? Horse brasses on the wall? What would it be? Music for some? Graham in Bushy, what's the point in Labour announcing any policies? It's only a matter of a week or two that they have to go back on them. Kevin's in Basingstoke talking pubs. Kevin, what makes a good pub? Good morning.
Morning. Well, I agree with Andrew. Weatherspoons is boring. I mean, I like a pub.
But what do you want in a pub? Tell me what you want in a pub, right? If Weatherspoons is boring, what do you want?
I do like a bit of music. I mean, you don't get any music in Weatherspoons, do you?
I don't. No, I've never been. Oh, well, I have. I'm sorry, at an airport. I have. I'm sorry, I have been to Weatherspoons. Yep.
I have once. I wouldn't go in again. But the thing is, the trouble with pubs... younger people are more health conscious,
right?
And they're not drinking so much alcohol,
right?
And going to the pub, but I mean, this problem is not just happening in the UK, France, Germany, America, Canada, New Zealand.
Well, they don't have pubs in those countries, of course, do they?
They do have pubs and bars, but the thing is, why it's worse here is Hospitality and Pub magazine said Brexit. Severely damaged their industry. So, because of the shortage of staff, food prices have gone up.
You want a bit of music? Tell me what else you want in the perfect. If you and I were opening the perfect pub in Basingstoke, we're going to have a bit of music. Someone's just Seb's just ascended strippers. Well, I don't think we can have those in a pub. So, what would be the perfect part of a pub for you, Kevin?
Well, are you just going to ignore the fact that I said that Brexit's damaged the industry?
Yeah, I am. I want to ask you what you want to put in your pub.
Rejoin the EU.
Okay. I'm trying to have some fun with you. Oh, God. All right, matey. Have a safe one. Thank you. Let's talk Russia. Phil's in Penrith. Phil, how concerned are you? Those blokes and women could be deployed.
I'm very concerned.
What needs to be done?
When I go to a war memorial on the 11th of November... I look at those names.
Mm.
If I go to Manchester, where I come from, I know a lot of those names.
Oh dear, I'm sorry.
And how are we going to feel when we have war memorials with names on from a conflict with the Ukraine and Russia?
Do you buy the promise I told you, as I remind you, we were told before, no shots would be fired in Afghanistan. We lost more than 400 military personnel and more than 700 have life-changing injuries and are not even gone into Iraq. Do you believe it?
I don't believe them. I think they're making it up as they go along.
I think you might be right. Phil, thank you for that. I'm going to give you some news. Well, I'm going to push you. Thanks, Phil. I've got to pursue this idea. What do you want in a pub? David says, could we have Jodie Kidd as the landlady? That's not a bad one. Tom in Godstone. Attentive staff, but not too attentive. A log burner, Kentish ale, a nice leather back sofa, and peace and quiet. And I'm 35, says Tom. All right, it's going to be a busy pub, isn't it? Coming up after the news, where's the primary school? The primary school where teachers are going on strike after they've been attacked by the pupils. Yes, you did hear that correctly. This was addressed by former Education Secretary Sir Gavin Williamson early in the hour. He told me...
Head teachers have to have a right to exclude pupils from schools. If they don't, then you have poor discipline and all children suffer.
More on that after this. 8:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
More than 65,000 homes are without power across England and Wales as Storm Goretti continues to sweep across the UK. Two people have been taken to hospital after being shot by US federal agents in the state of Oregon. And the chair of the Labour Party has refused to say, when speaking to Nick, whether an expected U-turn on business rate hikes for pubs will be extended to other firms. LBC weather. Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards. Snow showers lingering for eastern England. A high of 8 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are severe delays on the A40 westbound to the Greenford flyover. It's because of the emergency repair works and only one lane is open. It's very busy on the A13 westbound to Beckton because a van has broken down. There are queues on the A2 eastbound to the Bean interchange and that's following an accident. Only one Woolwich ferry can run and that's because of a technical problem. And there are problems on the underground. The Jubilee line is suspended between Finchley Road and Waterloo. And then there are severe delays on the rest of the line. Also, severe delays on the Metropolitan and Piccadilly lines and minor delays on the Waterloo and City line. And on the trains, because of the bad weather further west in the Midlands, lots of trains are disrupted, including Chiltern Railways and London Northwestern.
This is LBC.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £46 million.
That's enough to get your hands in the air. Woo! Wow, you really don't care. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
I love visiting Mum and Dad, but as they've gotten older, I've worried about leaving them on their own, especially in winter. We visit as often as we can, but they needed more regular help. That's why we're so grateful to Ellie, their home instead care professional, who lives with them and is always there when she's needed. It means Mum and Dad can stay in the home they love, and it gives us peace of mind to know they're okay when we're not there. For award-winning home care you can trust, visit homeinstead.co.uk.
The biggest Furniture Village sale of the year is on now, and it's everything you've been waiting for. Early bird offers in the Furniture Village sale ends Sunday.
Experience. It's knowing the difference between a good deal and, well, a great deal. Right now, get 3 months free when you take out Saga Health Insurance. You get 24/7 GP access whenever you want it. And the freedom to choose your preferred private hospital with your own room should you need it. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 19th of February. Pay by monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
A southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids' tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
So, close your eyes. Picture the scene. Just you and me, alone, enjoying breakfast on our own little island. Sounds perfect, right?
Yeah.
Great, because I've booked Wix to design our new kitchen.
At Wix, we have over 80 kitchen styles to choose from, with prices from under £3,000. And, right now, find big savings in the Wix kitchen sale. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Coming to a very important story about education, but let's share with us, just to sort of lighten the mood a little bit as we approach a weekend, what makes a perfect pub? This comes in from, am I saying Davze Williams. I very nearly opened a pub in North Wales a few years ago. My business plan was £5 entry, bring your own drinks, we'll sell the food and make specialist drinks, as well as run like a normal pub for those who don't bring their own drinks. A key thing putting in was a virtual jukebox where people can use an app to choose their own songs to play. You don't explain why you didn't proceed with that, but that's sort of £5. Effectively, it's a £5 cover charge, isn't it? Oscar says, I think when pubs try to do posh food, it ruins them. When they're just about the drinks and socialising, that's the perfect pub. It's shown in a local one to me, where the same pub tried to do fancy food, was empty every night, closed down after a year. Same pub reopens with no food at all, and it's packed every single night. Whoa, that's tough, isn't it? Back to pubs in a moment. But this story jumped out of the paper at me. Teachers at two primary schools in Greater Manchester say they've been driven to take strike action because of, quotes, almost daily attacks by pupils. They're members of the NASUWT Teaching Union. They're at Ravensfield and Lily Lane primary schools. They will take 9 days of strike action from this week until January the 22nd because of what the union is saying, a culture of violence. Meanwhile, I have to say, in fairness, or in balance, I should say, the newspaper that features this story, The Guardian, sent a journalist or journalists to these schools, many of the parents express utter bewilderment and say they weren't aware of it. So I don't even know these schools, I don't know the reality, but let's get a view now. Early in the hour, I spoke with former Education Secretary Sir Gavin Williamson. He told me...
What you've got to have is you've got to have strong discipline in all schools. You cannot tolerate misbehaviour. I think you've seen since the Labour government's come in, there's a slackening in approach. They don't want people to be excluded from schools. Head teachers have to have a right to exclude pupils from schools. If they don't, then you have poor discipline and all children suffer.
Back to the newspaper coverage. They speak to one parent who declined to be named. Quotes, "My son likes it here. We hear about fights sometimes, but nothing like what's being reported." So there clearly is an issue. Lee Parkinson is a primary school teacher in the Greater Manchester area. He's a podcaster and author of This Is Your Own Time You're Wasting. When my colleague phoned you up and told you about this newspaper story, what was your initial reaction, Mr. Parkinson? Good morning.
I stand with solidarity with those teachers because I feel if it's got to a point where they're feeling the need to strike, there's obviously serious concerns and... You know, it goes without saying that teachers shouldn't be going to school and being assaulted at all.
Is it something you've experienced or your colleagues have experienced at the school that you work at?
Not in our school, and I think it's not generally an issue across most schools, but I think it's something that's definitely growing in some schools. So, you know, I work part-time in my school and then I visit schools doing training, and I think sort of behaviour... is definitely becoming more of a concern for a lot of teachers. And, you know, you've got to start looking at the reasons why. I know Gavin Williamson said there about discipline and exclusion. And exclusion should only be in the absolute extreme circumstances. But I think you've got to look at the education system overall in that there's so many children now with their needs that aren't being met, send needs, trauma, anxiety. And I just don't think support's kept up. So I just don't think there's enough specialist provision. There's too long waits for assessment services. There's just not enough staff. You know, there's so many schools now that are on a skeleton staff where you might have one teacher for 30, 35 children and maybe a quarter of those children have particular needs. So, you know, when you've got a situation like that,
yeah,
it does make it more challenging.
The teaching that you do, how do you, and I put this word in quotes, how do you ensure there is a sense of discipline?
Well, I think I don't know if the discipline's the right word. I think for me it's about having, you know, clear routines, consistent boundaries, but also making sure you've got the right support in place for children who need it. Obviously consequences matter. But if you've not got support with those consequences, it's not going to solve the root issues. And all that's going to happen with those children, it's just going to get passed down the line. So support, you know, and you've got to have support without boundaries. Because for these teachers as well, it's not just their safety. It's going to be the safety of other children within the class as well, which is obviously our absolute priority as a teacher.
Okay. What does the government or local authorities need to take from this?
I think they've just got to see it as a bit of a wake-up call and sort of have serious discussions with the profession to ensure that we're getting the right support, there's services in place that schools can reach out to. And we're in a situation now where it feels schools have to be the answer to absolutely everything, and it's just making the job so much harder. And so we need those support. We need the funding in place to make sure staff are there to be able to help and support those children. So, you know, there's lots of things that can be done.
Lee Parkinson is a primary school teacher in the Manchester area. Your podcaster, you wrote, "This is your own time that you're wasting." Thank you for that. We'll keep an eye on that school. As I say, there's a degree of puzzlement at the school gates when the newspaper tipped up there. But parents saying, yes, we do hear there's occasional fight. Well, I suppose there are always going to be fights in schools, aren't they? But we're talking pubs now. What makes a perfect pub? What's your name? Mon says, "I went to a pub in West London last night. I was charged £27.45 for a single gin and tonic and a large glass of house white wine. With these prices, of course, people don't want to go to pubs." £27.45 for a single... How the hell did they get to that? Andy's in Dartford. Andy, what makes a perfect pub? Good morning.
If I had a pub...
Yes.
One thing that I'd keep it open.
Yes.
If I had Nick Ferrari in one corner.
Right.
James O'Brien in another corner.
Right.
Nick Ferrari in the middle. God, what a conversation.
Hang on, I'm in two places now. I'm in a corner. James is in another corner, and you want me in the middle as well?
No, Nigel Farage.
Oh, no. Right, so you got me in the blue corner. Me in the blue corner, James in the red corner, and you've got Nigel Farage as a referee.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you know when you get last order?
Yes.
There would never be a last order in a pub if you three were there.
Can we get Hannibal Lecter? He's the only one missing, I think.
It'd be 24 hours. The pub would be called 24 Hours with O'Brien, Farage and Ferrari.
It's a catchy title. Whether it would work, I don't know. Andy, thank you. Have a good one down in Dartford, Kent. John B. in Hazelmere. I love going to a country pub. It must have character, a roaring fire. What about the summer? Better to be a free house instead of a brewery owned. I've been to James May's pub and it's wonderful, almost perfect. Lots of character, roaring fire, great food. Too many pubs just want to get you in, rip you off with extortionate prices for beer and wine, served by staff who have no social skills. Too many have the wrong staff who aren't trained properly to be in hospitality. This government and past ones are not qualified to govern. Reuben in Kingston. Reuben, why are you worried about the pub trade? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not particularly worried, in all honesty. This is coming from someone that does enjoy a casual drink. I mean,
right.
Over the last year or so, we've seen the rate of pubs decline. What was it, a rate of like 6 or 7 a week or a day, was it?
They reckon last year approximately one a day.
About one a day, and it's still not hard to find. So I'm not too sure what the big deal is with regards to...
Well, I mean, the village in which I grew up has gone from 4 to 2. And one of those I did think closed last year from memory. So, I mean, that's half gone just in one little Kentish village.
Yeah, I understand that. But, I mean, they're still not hard to find. I mean, you just probably got to go down the road a little bit further. I mean, the idea of the desperate need to keep open as many pubs as possible, let's just be honest.
There's enough already, you say. All right, Reuben, you don't want to need to contribute to a perfect cause because there's enough already. Tom's in Richmond. Tom, what are you going to tell me? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. How are you?
Grand, thank you. Are you in the pub trade?
I am. Been in the pub trade for many, many years.
Are you in Richmond?
We are.
What's the name of your pub?
The Red Cow.
The Red Cow. I know Richmond. Whereabouts in Richmond is the Red Cow?
Down on Machine Road.
Ah, by Waitrose.
That's it. Just outside, if you came out of Waitrose, up to the top of the road, and heading for Sheen.
Okay, I know roughly where you are. Okay. How's trade?
It's not bad. It's not a disaster, but the problem is we don't trade so badly. However, the overheads just wipe everything out, and I just fear for so many people or publicans in local areas or like further out of town that maybe don't trade so well, but they've also got the same bills. They've got everything. So if we had a disaster or things need doing, things need repairing, we just can't do it. There's just no money left to do, so you will eventually demise, really.
Lastly, we'll be about a minute late to the news because we're talking about pubs and we have got a real-life publican on. How nervous were you by what the proposals were? How relaxed are you that it seemed they are going to U-turn, Tom?
Well, my rates just went completely up 60% in a click of a finger.
Good Lord.
To kick in in April.
Yeah.
Now this is along with everything, you know, your gas, your electricity.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Your gas and your electricity at the moment are over probably £3,500 a month with
good
your water.
God, that's extraordinary. Yeah, I've got to get to the news. As we've been talking, Holly has texted, the Red Cow is an amazing pub. The girls go there for the live music. You've got live music down in the Red Cow, have you?
Oh, thanks, Holly.
That's got to be a gin and tonic for her when she next comes in, or a white wine, whatever it might be. Tom, if I'm in the air, I'll try and stick my head in. Thank you. Music means we move on. To the Cambridge College that is urged now to scrap elite private schools policy. There's an argument over that. We'll give you more details. A baby to be adopted in the most extraordinary circumstances. And for many, it was 10 years ago tomorrow that the music died. There's a star man waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he'd blow our minds. The extraordinary musical talent that was David Bowie. We'll be looking back on that career. Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock. Tens of thousands of homes are without power this morning after Storm Goretti brought heavy snow and winds of up to 99 miles per hour. More than 60,000 properties are currently without electricity in England and Wales. The southwest of England has been particularly badly affected. Jim Gallien is from East Cornwall Search and Rescue and is urging people to think carefully before heading out.
Really, it is essential journeys only. Please listen to the messages on the news and on the official websites, and just don't go out unnecessarily. Avoid it if you possibly can.
Rail services, airports and cross-channel ferries have all been disrupted. LBC's Midlands reporter George Ike says Birmingham Airport is only able to run a partial service after heavy snowfall.
It is going to cause huge problems throughout the rest of the day, I think, with big delays and a number of cancellations coming up. And we've also seen a similar sort of story at East Midlands Airport, albeit a much shorter closure of their runway, nowhere near 12 hours like we've seen at Birmingham. But they also now are playing catch-up with another number of delays and cancellations.
Hundreds of schools remain closed in Scotland following days of heavy snowfall and freezing temperatures. Yellow weather warnings for snow and ice for large parts of England, Scotland and Northern Ireland will remain in place until around midday. Do stay with LBC for the latest on Storm Goretti. You can read more at lbc.co.uk. Two people are in hospital after being shot by US federal agents during an operation in Portland. It comes a day after a federal immigration officer shot and killed Renee Good in Minneapolis. Her shooting has triggered widespread protests and calls to end President Trump's immigration crackdown in the city. And a potential U-turn on planned business rate hikes for pubs is being called totally unfair by some within the hospitality sector. LBC understands an announcement is expected within days, but it won't apply to other firms or retailers. It will be the fourth climb down in 18 months, including the change on farmers' inheritance tax just before Christmas. But Labour Party Chair Anna Turley has told Nick this morning any change for pubs won't be a U-turn.
It's really easy just to say, well, this is a U-turn. I don't buy that. Policies shift.
So you don't see this pubs as a U-turn?
No, it's about getting the policy right. And this is always going to happen. Government and policymaking is a moving feast all the time. You're going to shift, you're going to change. You've got to listen to people.
In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 35 at 10,079. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards. Snow showers will linger across eastern England, though. Elsewhere, a mix of sunny spells and wintry showers, a high of 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Turn ordinary into the extraordinary every day with the Lexus LBX. Whilst most SUVs are big and brash, the LBX is quietly bold and confident. Refined luxury crafted into a compact SUV. The Lexus LBX. What car's best small SUV 2024 and 2025?
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, it's 5 minutes after nine on Friday, January the 9th. Coming up in this hour, the Cambridge College that's urging and recruiting and seeking private school pupils to raise the standards. What is the reality if you did attend a private school, your children do, or indeed you didn't? Is there something special? Plus the extraordinary story of abandoned baby Elsa to be adopted and regularly see two siblings over the course of approximately 10 years. Baby Elsa is now the third child to have been abandoned in those circumstances. We'll give you more details on that. As I said a few moments ago, for many, tomorrow will mark 10 years since the music died. The extraordinary career of David Bowie, dying, of course, so unexpectedly 10 years ago tomorrow, in appreciation of a remarkable career.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Question. Is there something special, extra, additional about being a private school pupil if you attended one? Or perhaps your wife did, or your husband did, or your partner did, and you didn't? Perhaps you've dated a few blokes, a few girls, some of whom were private schools. What is the difference? Why would one very distinguished Cambridge college, Trinity Hall, why would it say that it wants to now effectively recruit, go on a drive to get private school pupils to raise standards, to, and I quote directly, to improve the quality of applicants? What does that say about our state schools? How fair might that be? Under the scheme at Trinity Hall, students from more than 50 independent schools, including St Paul's Girls School and Eton, will be encouraged to apply in a, quote, targeted recruitment strategy. The scheme will call for applications to 6 specific subjects, including classics, music, theology and languages. This story has been broken by today's Telegraph. They've seen a memo from a Marcus Tomalin, who's the director of admissions, said there remained, and I quote, a compelling case to continue actively to encourage applications from pupils at UK independent schools in an appropriately strategic manner. He goes on, these schools often provide rigorous academic environments, strong subject teaching, and extensive support for university preparation. He says the best students arrived at Cambridge with, quotes, expertise and interests that align well with the intellectual demands. To ignore or marginalise this pool of applicants would risk overlooking potential offer holders who are not only exceptionally well qualified, but are encouraged to engage critically and independently with their subjects in a way that Cambridge has historically prized. So what's so special about them? Dr. Rebecca Montacute is a research director at the Social Market Foundation. In a brief sentence, if you could, Doctor, what is the Social Market Foundation seeking to bring about? Good morning.
Morning. A cross-party think tank, and one of our areas of expertise and priority is education and social mobility.
So if you're interested in and motivated by social mobility, what's your position on a policy such as this that I've just read out from this university college?
I'm honestly shocked having seen it, and frankly slightly embarrassed for the university to see that they've taken this step. I think it's an outdated understanding of what a quality student is, of what you can tell from what is given to private school students, and the huge amount of quality that they then risk missing out on from the state sector. So I'm really shocked to have seen them take the step.
Does a private education equip a student with better powers to interrogate certain arguments than perhaps a typical state school?
So there's actually evidence that when you compare the A-level grades of private school students to those from state schools, that when they get to university, privately educated students can actually slightly underperform compared to how they'd done previously. And that's because quite often at private schools, they'll be given so much help and support. And I think it should be quite obvious that if you get 3A stars from Eton, that isn't telling you actually the same thing about a student as a student who's gotten the same grades but who went to, you know, an inner-city comprehensive school that perhaps was struggling, or one in a rural or coastal area where the student was from free school meals. That is a much harder thing to achieve and tells you something different about that student. And I think taking any amount of resource or time to reach out to these private schools is, frankly, not required. They already have so much resource internally.
But you have to say, Doctor, with respect, surely someone who's a director of admissions knows more about the pupils that his college is taking in than perhaps, certainly I do, or can I put it to you, that perhaps you do?
I've been working on these kind of issues for years, and
but,
I think
you're
that
not, you're
actually...
not an admissions officer, though, are you?
No, and I think that's a fair question. I think that admissions officers have the problem that, first off, they have institutional memory and kind of the way things have been approached for a long time. And, you know, quite often, because they've had so many privately educated students at these institutions for years, it's just what they're used to. I think that when they have any inkling that maybe, you know, they're not getting as many applications as before or any issues like that, I think, frankly, they're probably just panicking rather than actually thinking logically as to actually maybe it's a better use of their resource to spend that time on access efforts.
Dr. Rebecca Montacute, your research director at the Social Market Foundation, thank you for your time. Listening, Nick Hillman, who's director of the Higher Education Policy Institute think tank and served as special advisor to former universities manager, Minister David, now Lord Willetts, and he joins me now. Mr. Hillman, same sort of question to you. Is there a distinction between pupils who attend a private school and a state school? And if so, how does it show itself? Good morning.
Well, good morning, Nick. I mean, all the things Rebecca said, of course, about the advantages private schools provide are true, but I have a lot more sympathy for what Cambridge is doing here, because when you go and visit independent schools, as I do sometimes, they feel these top universities have been acting in a way against their students, and they're encouraging a lot of their students now to go off to American universities. And there are pros and cons from that, but I would like some of our brightest and best educated kids to have the equal chance of attending the top universities here. And the crucial thing that I think has been missed from some of the commentary on this is they're aiming at specific disciplines. And even universities like Oxford and Cambridge are struggling at some colleges to fill some of the courses like music, some of the language courses. And you know, rightly or wrongly, we know the provision for those subjects is very often better in private schools than state schools. So they're trying to fill their courses with people who have the music provision that enables them to thrive on those courses, for example.
So, Nick, is it your view then, in a way, private schools have been discriminated against? And if so, why has that come about?
Well, there's been a lot of pressure on universities from regulators and ministers to do exactly that. Although I don't actually think in practice most universities have done as much of that as sometimes people think. But the schools themselves are scared that that is happening. And there's been very significant increases, as I say, in kids from the elite private schools going off to American universities. And maybe they'll come back and thrive in the British labour market afterwards. But sometimes we've lost those kids forevermore. I would like to see, I mean, look, it's still the case that there's a high proportion of private school kids at Oxford and Cambridge. But as I say, there is this sense when you visit those schools that they're less interested in those universities than they used to be. And clearly Cambridge think that's a problem. These schools think that's a problem. And therefore, you know, I don't think we should criticise Cambridge for being open about what it is they want to do.
Lastly, when the admissions director says these schools, as in private, provide rigorous academic environments, strong subject teaching and extensive support for university preparation, is he right and state schools don't?
Well, he's certainly right that those schools do very often provide that. They often have dedicated members of staff focused on university entrance. And state schools, you know, I've got a son in a year 11 in a state school, mm-hmm. and state schools do their absolute utmost to deliver as much as they can. But obviously, they have very, very much less money per student to do that. So often the support from a state school is less good. But as I say, the advice these kids at the top independent schools are getting is often don't apply to Oxford and Cambridge. Right. They don't want you. Go off to America or another country. So this is trying to recalibrate the pendulum, to mix my metaphors a little bit.
Lastly, year 11, GCSEs, Nick, this year, is that right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Imagine being Nick Hillman's son doing your GCSEs. Oh my goodness, the boy has to do. I wish him good fortune, and I wish you peace in the household through those exams, and of course the day in August. I hope the lad does well. Nick, thanks for that. Nick Hillman, your director of the Higher Education Policy Think Tank. You served as special advisor to David, now Lord Willetts, the former universities minister. What is the difference between those two schools? We'll come to that. And talking about children, the most extraordinary story about abandoned baby Elsa. Heartwarming in a sense. 9:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Tens of thousands of homes are without power this morning after Storm Goretti brought heavy snow and powerful winds. Two people have been taken to hospital after being shot by US federal agents in the state of Oregon. And speaking to Nick, the chair of the Labour Party has refused to say whether an expected climb down on business rate hikes for pubs will be extended to other parts of the hospitality sector. LBC weather, Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards. Snow showers will linger for eastern England, a high of 8 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are severe delays on the A40 westbound to the Greenford flyover. Some emergency works are taking place and there are delays all the way back past the Hanger Lane gyratory. And the A13's not looking good at all this morning. Westbound, it's slow to Beckton. A van's broken down, so one lane is closed and there are delays back to Dagenham. In Walthamstow, Forest Road is closed eastbound for emergency works. And in Hounslow, Bath Road is closed eastbound and that's also for emergency works. On the Underground, there's no service on the Jubilee line between Finchley Road and Waterloo. Then there are severe delays on the rest of the line. Also severe delays on the Metropolitan line and also on the Piccadilly line following a signal failure from earlier.
This is LBC.
My mum, a legend to the end. A tough time, made easier by Co-op Funeral Care. A proper chat over a cuppa, a few classic mumisms, that camping trip in Skegness. And we've got it. A brilliant goodbye that felt right.
We're here in your community to guide, support, or simply talk things through. However you choose to say goodbye, we help you own it. Co-op. Owned by you. Right by you. Search Co-op Funeral Care for your nearest funeral home.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Simone combined her old pensions with PensionBee.
So I had multiple pensions from various jobs that I have been in, and every 6 months or so I would receive a statement, and I was losing track of all my different pensions and all the different statements. I just wanted one easy way of keeping them all in one place.
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to PensionBee.com and be pension confident. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Early Bird offers end Sunday in the biggest Furniture Village sale of the year. Save even more on sofas, dining, beds and bedroom furniture. And that's on top of sale prices. But hurry, Early Bird offers end this Sunday at Furniture Village, a world-class family business.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming to your calls regarding this private school initiative from one particular Cambridge college, Trinity Hall. I think it's one of the most established, actually. Adam, you'll be the first caller. Let's just pick up a little on some of the texts and messages that are coming in. Nirali says, my husband was privately educated from the age of 13 to 18. I went to the local state school in London. I ended up with a professional degree. He dropped out of university. We both got the same grades at A-levels. We're both doing well now, but I think it's about hobbies and life skills you pick up. My A-level tutors in sixth form and a state school provided the most rigorous environment for me to thrive. Thank you for that one. This comes in from Liam in York. I didn't go to private school, but I've dated a couple of women who did go. They weren't more intelligent than the people I know who didn't go to private school. In fact, it's the opposite. They just acted entitled and spoilt. Well, that was the sort of aspect that I was asking about. If you know, you perhaps, I don't know, dated or ran with or whatever one does, how that's worked out. Adam in Canberra, what are you going to tell me? Adam, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Hello, Nick. Nice to speak to you, mate.
Good to have you on. What are you going to tell me, sir?
So, yeah, the reason I rang up is because, basically, just to give context, I grew up in Canning Town in East London in the late 90s and 2000s, and my mum and dad moved back into their parents so they could afford to send me and my sister to boarding school.
Right, okay.
And I was quite lucky because I got a bursary fund because I was a chorister boy. And the only reason I could go is because of that and the fact that my parents sacrificed buying a house and everything to get me into that school.
And you went from age 11, is that right?
From year 4 to year 8. And then I went to a different boarding school, but that was a state-funded boarding school. So I've done both.
Right.
And the difference is that when I went to the state boarding school...
So just to help people, sorry, year four is about eight or nine, isn't it, roughly?
Yeah.
And year eight is about 12, 13, roughly.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just aware that not everybody knows school years.
Of course.
So, yeah, on you go, yep.
Of course. So the difference was is that when I went to the state school, that I was relearning probably the past year or two's worth of stuff that I learned in the private school. The difference is that the person I may have become going to school in East London, I probably would have been a completely different person.
Well, I've got to quiz you about that. What have you become, and what do you sense you might have become? We need a bit more detail.
I don't know what it was. It was the way you treat people and discipline and your attitude towards life in general. You just get a bit of extra time to be taught that. I mean, I think I was a bit more advantaged because I was at a boarding school, so I was around the teachers a lot.
Yes.
It's funny as well because I just learned yesterday that the school's actually closing, and it's because of the VAT rises and
it's
stuff
another
like
one
that.
Of those closed.
And it made me so sad because listen, that would have never have happened to me if that VAT charges were on
so
back then.
Do you mind if I ask, you're in employment, you've got a job, have you?
I mean, I always take the mick out of myself a little bit, but and there's nothing glamorous, but I ended up as a mechanic.
Right,
But that still goes back to the private school days. Listen, I love my, I'm so into my job. Being a mechanic's all I've ever wanted to be. All I want to do is work on cars, nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
And the reason that is because in the last term of year eight, after you did all our final exams, what they did is they took us out and they showed us different parts of the world and how they filled the car park, the playground with cars one day, and they opened the bonnet, they jacked them up, they said, this is an engine, they said, this is where your oil goes.
So did they do that specifically for you, or they just did that generally?
They did it for anyone that was in year eight, and you were in your last term of year eight, you were about to leave the school.
Right, I see.
They took out, they did like team building exercises and stuff like that. And if Mr. Haig, the teacher, I didn't like him, but he's the one responsible. If he never showed me the Audi TT and just got that sort of spark, gave me the spark, and I credit that school. It was just something.
Let me ask you this lastly, then. So there you are. You're doing a job that you love. You're enjoying, and that's so great. If you do a job you love, you'll never do a day's work in your life. But had you not gone to this school and had you stayed in East London, what do you think would have happened then, Adam? Do you ever think about that?
I do a lot, to be honest. And it's, I've got friends that are still back there, and their life's not been so good.
Adam, good luck with the mechanics. We'll always need people to fix our cars. Thank you for that. Mandy's in Maidstone. Mandy, tell me your story.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. Just a quickie, really. My parents both came from council houses. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. My dad, I think, would have been clever if he'd have given the chance. You know, he was a clever guy, but he's the eldest of eight and had to go to work at 14, whatever.
Mm.
So I'm an only child, and I went to just a normal school, and to be quite honest, didn't really bother. You know, left at 15 and blah, blah. But we then went in to have two daughters, and from a very young age, we encouraged them to read and books and make sure they did their homework. And, you know,
why?
They have to
without being rude, having been someone who sort of turned their back on education as a young person.
Well, I didn't actually turn my back. I just couldn't be bothered. I was the class clown, you know.
Right.
And I wasn't academically very good.
Right.
But why did
you realise with your husband or partner that you really wanted to sort of change the dialogue for your daughters?
Because I thought that education was important and I wanted them to do well, but never forced them. Never forced them, but encouraged. So they had to learn their spellings.
How old are your daughters?
Now, nearly 39 and nearly 30.
Oh, crikey. I'm sorry. You've got a very young voice. I didn't realise. Right. Okay. How have they done?
And so they both went to they couldn't have been taught any better if I'd have paid for their education.
Oh, brilliant.
They went to a normal school, they went to a grammar school, they both went to Bournemouth University, they both got a degrees, and they both got very good jobs.
Brilliant.
And what I'm saying is a lot of their friends' parents,
yes,
wrongly or rightly, they had tutors.
Yes.
Push, push, push. Now, I've never agreed with that. It's best to be the top of rather than the bottom and struggle at a grammar school.
Right.
And they left. the kids couldn't cope with the work. They had the tutors, but they hadn't got it, if you see what I mean.
I do. I see exactly what you mean. You must be very proud of your daughters. Mandy, thank you. I'm only finishing with you to move on, and I will get to other callers on that in a moment. But this is another story, well, about children, but much, much younger children. Mandy, good luck to your girls, by the way, of course. And this was a girl who was found, a baby girl, who was found abandoned as a newborn in a carrier bag in East London on the coldest day of the year, back in 2024, will be adopted. That's perhaps not that surprising, but will have regular contact with her two siblings, who were also discovered in similar circumstances. Now, Elsa, as the girl is called, was left near a footpath in Newham, January 2024, 2 years ago. She was discovered by a dog walker. Subsequent DNA tests established she was the sibling of two other babies, one boy, one girl, found nearby in very similar circumstances in 2017 and 2019. Police stress all inquiries to find the parents have now been exhausted. They've done door-to-door, they've done everything they can think of. But the East London Family Court heard earlier this week that Elsa is now thriving, living with a new family and with a loving relationship. And here's the fascinating thing. All the adoptive parents have agreed that Elsa, nearly two, brother Harry, who's eight, and sister Roman, who is six, will have regular meetings as they grow up. They already see photographs of each other and have playdates twice a year. Judge Carol Atkinson, sitting at the family court, said this was an extraordinary story, but added it's fundamental to her existence. She shares that story with two full siblings. Professor Lorraine Scher is a clinical psychologist, head of the Health Psychology Unit at University College London, and has focused on abandoned children. Thanks for coming on, Professor. This is the most extraordinary story, isn't it? For one child, it would be quite remarkable. For three, what do you take from it as a professional in the field? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it really is unique. However, it's only because DNA technology has now become available that we can start to identify this. And it may be that there's other such double or serial abandonments. We simply don't know.
Do you agree with the judge that it is, I want to get there, fundamental, that it is fundamental to the existence and development of all three children that they have this sort of correlation? And if so, why?
So, yes, it's quite inspirational judging. It's where child development, mental health and law collide and it's a wonderful judgment. Our research has showed, even when you interview abandoned children who are abandoned as adults, the lingering mental health burden is profound. And what is it that worries them? Relationships, where they came from, knowing who they are. So by ensuring they have links very early on with their siblings, their true siblings, will create for them a real sense of who they are and restore some of the sense of abandonment. So I think it's a truly a sort of a Solomon judgment, really.
What are some of those lingering aspects you referred to a moment ago?
Well, what we looked at in our study was things like disclosure moments, how they found out they were abandoned as being very traumatic. So in this case, it's obviated. They will know from very early on their circumstance. And we found that that was the best. Children who always knew, who were told right from the beginning, fared best. Worries about their own families and have starting a family when they are adults.
Of course, yeah.
And how it stands in their way. Thoughts and dreams and fantasies and curiosity around who they were and where they came from and who their mother was, and less often, but who their father was. So all of those can be kind of prevented in a way by having some clarity to the best of science abilities for these children and loving relationships. You know, siblings are good for you encouraging it and enabling it and letting it take its natural course will be good for all three children.
Lastly, so you and your colleagues have spoken with those who have been abandoned. Have you ever spoken with the abandoners, for want of a better word?
You know, we've spoken with people who are finders. Abandoners are very, very rarely found.
Right.
We haven't, and not that we haven't tried, but locating and finding them, basically they don't come forward for the most part. We did look at if they were found, And for our study showed that if they weren't found in the first 36 hours, they were probably not going to be found. New technology might change that.
This is an incredible story, isn't it? Three kiddies over a 10-year span. Yeah. Right, remarkable. 8-year span, actually. Professor, thank you for your time. Lorraine Scher, you're clinical psychologist. You head the health psychology unit at the University College London. You've studied abandoned children. Talking there about the importance of siblings, if you're fortunate enough to have them, your brothers, your sisters, perhaps you've got a bit of both, how important has a bit of sibling rivalry or siblings been to your development? We'll talk about that. We'll come back to our conversation about private education as well. And tomorrow was the day, for some, the music died. Years ago, David Bowie died. Now his childhood home will be restored to how it was when he lived there and will be open to the public. Your memories of the great entertainer coming up after this. It's 9:31. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News time, Dominic Ellis.
Storm Goretti has left tens of thousands of homes without power. It brought heavy snow and powerful winds to large parts of England, with gusts of 99 miles per hour recorded in Cornwall. The National Grid says more than 60,000 properties are currently without electricity in England and Wales. Rail services, airports and cross-channel ferries have all been disrupted. Stay with LBC for the very latest. Two people are in hospital after being shot by US federal agents in Portland. It comes a day after a federal immigration officer shot and killed Renee Nicole Good in Minneapolis. And speaking to Nick, the Labour chair has refused to say whether an expected U-turn on business rate hikes for pubs will be extended to other businesses. Anna Turley has told LBC that ministers are looking to get money back in people's pockets to boost towns and high streets. LBC weather. Storm Goretti will slowly move eastwards. Snow showers lingering across the east of England. Sunny spells and wintry showers elsewhere. A high of 8 degrees.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall.
65 to 70% of our cocaine comes from Colombia. Should we be going into Colombia? Should we be taking out Colombia on the basis of this? Should we be taking out the Colombian leader?
We have our own war on drugs, which sadly we're losing.
Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
They've kidnapped the guy. They've literally abducted him. They've taken him to a New York court. Don't get me wrong. Nasty, horrible, brutal dictator. No one's weeping for him. But the precedent is clear. They are literally putting out pictures of the guy on this helicopter, blind. Folded, and you're saying, that could be fine.
Sunday with Lewis Goodall. Sunday morning from 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
New year, new you. Maybe. New year, new car. Definitely. Upgrade your year with a new Vauxhall Frontera Electric or any car from our award-winning range. With 0% APR over 4 years with a minimum 20% deposit and £1,000 off on top of all other offers. That's a resolution worth sticking to. Search Vauxhall today. £1,000 saving on new car orders ends further January 2026. Personal contract purchase, 20% deposit, 18 plus. Subject to status and availability. T's and C's, Stellantis Financial Services.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Hillary's huge winter sale is on. And now there's even more savings for the window wise, with an extra 10% off everything until the 2nd of February. That's on top of up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, keep the cold out and the cozy in with free thermal lining on our favourite curtains and Roman blinds. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. Conditions apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming up, an appreciation of the extraordinary career of David Bowie and news that they're going to turn his home in Bromley, which is sort of southeast London or Kent, it's on the borders really. Are they going to restore it to how it looked when he lived there and then open it to the public? The star lived there from the age of 8 to 20, and it's where he wrote his first songs. An organisation called the Heritage of London Trust has acquired, it looks like a terraced house from this photograph. It's a modest property anyway. And they hope to have it ready for the late next year. We'll talk more about that and your memories of that fantastic entertainer in a moment. Manesh in Southall, been hanging on the line to talk about private schools. So we have a very prestigious college at Cambridge specifically going after private school pupils. Is that right, do you think? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, sir.
Yeah, I think it's about time we go back to tradition of where the people that want to employ people or recruit people or admit people have the right to choose their own way. All this DEI stuff that's been going on, it's kind of diluted stuff, and maybe they're forced to do it this way. At the end of the day, it's their opinion, their choice, and it's up to them who they want to recruit from the pool of resources where they want to get the caliber of students from.
It is, but some would argue, indeed we had a contributor say, that it is very unfair, it's discriminatory against non-private school pupils who possibly dream of going to a place such as Trinity Hall.
Well, it's not a case of that. I think what's happened is you have to look further down the line. What happens after university? So you've got a pool of employers that have high expectations of people like Cambridge, Trinity Hall, Oxford, the Russell Group universities, and they have an expectation of the caliber of staff they're going to employ from there. And if over the last 5 years that's been diluted down because of DEI, and then they've lost the reputation, so they have to do something to get that back and at least stay in line with their reputation and uphold their reputation.
Do you mind my asking, did you attend a state school or a private school, Munaf?
No, of course. I attended a state school. Yeah. There was no possibility, no finances available in my family where I could have possibly went to a private school. Mm. But that's fine. But I was happy in the area I was in. We were heavily guided towards education, and we were forced to do homework.
When you say heavily guided, was that mum and dad or the teachers or siblings? What was it?
Everything. The teachers were superb in those days.
Yeah. I'm
happy to say. They were motivated, heavily motivated. They were very well skilled, and we never had a lack of resources.
And lastly, you said some of the words that, you know, you didn't have the money. Is it your sense if your parents had the money, or if you'd had the money perhaps for your children, you would have sought private education, or do you think it's overrated?
No, I can't control what my parents had when I was growing up, so that's something beyond my control. But now I have the resources, my child does go to a private school.
Ah, okay. And why was that, lastly, why was that important to you, Munesh?
Because I don't have trust in the state school system at the moment, so I've got no choice.
Okay, and is it working out? Are you pleased with how he's getting on?
Extremely pleased. He's doing extremely well, and I'm hoping that she'll end up in Oxford or Cambridge one day. But
I thought you said he. So, yeah. Okay, best of luck to your daughter. Munesh, thank you for that. Sam in Surrey, myself and my two brothers went to private school. My middle brother did well. Even speaking to you as a professional on some matters, I was bullied terribly. I found private school people are very entitled. I was a nightmare when I was younger. I'm now 50, have struggled with my health and struggled for money. Is it the way the cards are dealt? We'll continue our conversation about the benefits of private education in a moment. But as I've said a number of times now, for some, possibly actually for many, 10 years ago was one of the days when the music died. There's a star man waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks. Is there life on Mars? Just for one day. And speaking as someone who was privileged to interview him on a number of occasions, I can tell you he had a tremendous, not only tremendous talent, he actually had a tremendous sense of humour, which was displayed in this cameo appearance in Extras, back in 2006.
I think I've sold out, to be honest, but yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, to keep your integrity when you're going for that first.
Little fat man who sold his soul.
The little
fat man who sold his dream. Chubby little loser. Chubby little loser. National joke.
No, not chubby little loser.
No.
Pathetic little fat man, no one's bloody laughing. The clown that no one laughs at, they all just wish he'd die. He's got no style, he's got no grace, he's banal and facile, he's a fat waste of space. Yeah, yeah. Everybody sing that last line. One, two, three. He's banal and facile, he's a fat waste of space. See his pop, no space.
Yeah, I suppose you had to have seen it, but... Oh, dear, it's got me laughing. Let's turn to Matt Charlton, music writer, broadcaster. How big was David Bowie for you, Matt? Morning.
Absolutely huge. Good morning. Yeah, and he kept his own narrative going right up to the end. Yesterday was the 10th anniversary of his final album, Black Star, and it was his epitaph. It was his way of saying goodbye to the world, and it was all orchestrated and right up to the end. He was brilliant at writing his own narrative and putting out the persona that he wanted to the public. In fact, the final track on the final album was I Can't Give Everything Away.
Matt, I read that he knew he was dying when he made that album. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. The whole thing, the cover just now looks like a gravestone. It's a black star. He talks about going away. He actually says, I'm dying, in the lyrics. It's all there. Through his whole career, he just dropped clues to what he was really like, what was really going on. And yeah, breadcrumbs right up to the end.
When was he at his absolute pomp, Matt?
Oh, man, well, we can talk about commercial pomp or we can talk about artistic pomp.
Both, go ahead.
OK, well, commercial pomp would be Let's Dance. That's his biggest-selling album of all time. He collaborated with Nile Rodgers from Chic. That was his early 80s pomp. He went pretty much off the cliff after that, actually, artistically and commercially.
He did have periods, didn't he, he hit some rather rocky weather at times, didn't he?
He did, absolutely, but he was pretty financially sorted at that point, but he was a trier. He always was a trier. I mean, throughout the 60s, he actually had he was turned down by Apple, as in the Beatles record label in the late 60s. So he took a long time to get there, actually. He was older than most people when he had his first hit with Ziggy, and that was his other commercial peak. And his creative peak, I would say, was the Berlin Trilogy and Station to Station, which is probably my favourite album, which actually they're re-releasing next week. As a tribute to him and to make some money. But yes, he had a few moments, and then actually Black Star, his final album, was his best album since probably Scary Monsters and Super Creeps, I would say. So that's a 35 year gap between great albums. He knew what he was doing. Occasionally he tried and he failed, but that's what a true artist is.
Do you think he's been afforded the full legendary status that his work probably deserves?
I think so. The day he died was pretty much a national day of mourning. Yeah, the BBC News did a special to him. There was I believe, a Bowie prom as well. The Glastonbury that year had a Ziggy lightning bolt above the pyramid stage. And I think he is now considered up there, as we saw with the childhood home that you were talking about earlier being opened, that it is afforded to him. And his contribution to music and culture is given an appropriate amount of gravitas, definitely.
One other thing you read, Matt, and again, you're better positioned to comment on this, he was almost always ahead of his time. Is that a fair comment?
Absolute visionary. He saw musical movements coming. He saw the movement to soul, he saw the movement to glam, he saw the movement to sort of synthy pop and the sort of Duran Duran time. He did Ashes to Ashes before all of that. Appeared in a pirouette suit, if you remember, the beach. Absolutely. So he saw, there's also a very famous interview with him with Jeremy Paxman in the mid-90s, talking about how much of an impact the internet's going to be, and Jeremy Paxman sort of lightly laughing at these declarations, and he says it's going to change everything. It's going to change. That's my impression. It's going to change everything. It's absolutely going to change society fundamentally. And Jack Paxman's just doing his leaning back and smiling thing. But he knew what was going on. He had his finger on the pulse all the way through. And he because he loved it, because he loved progress, and because he loved art. And I think that is what people are going to remember him for.
Thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Thank you, Matt Charlton, music writer and broadcaster, big David Bowie fan. It won't be ready until next year, but the David Bowie Childhood Home will be restored courtesy at the Heritage of London Trust. He lived there from age 8 to 20, where he wrote his first songs. It will effectively, it'll be recreated as it was back then. It'll be effectively a museum. Brenda, going to be talking to you about private schools. If any of you have memories of the great David Bower, we'll come to those as well. But it's 9.45, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Storm Goretti has left tens of thousands of homes without power after bringing heavy snow and powerful winds to large parts of England. The social media platform X says it's changed its AI system for generating images after criticism over the creation of deep fake pictures of women and girls. And the Labour Party chair has told LBC that any changes to business rate hikes for pubs won't be a U-turn. LBC weather, Storm Goretti slowly moving eastwards, snow showers lingering in eastern England, sunny spells and wintry showers elsewhere, a high of 8 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are queues on the M1 southbound, junction 4 at the A41 because of an accident, and one lane is closed for recovery. Still long delays on the A40 going westbound to the Greenford flyover. Some emergency works having to take place, and only one lane is open. Delays on the A13 westbound from Dagenham to Bexham because a van's broken down, and there's only one Woolwich ferry running, and that's because of a technical problem. On the underground, the Jubilee line is suspended between Finchley Road and Waterloo. Then there are severe delays on the rest of the line. Also severe delays on the Piccadilly and Metropolitan lines, and minor delays continue on the Waterloo and City line.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
First week back and we have another U-turn. Do you welcome the one on pubs and Twitter, X, Grok? What on earth is going on?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Right then, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life?
Anglers, ramblers, climbers, five-a-siders,
surfers, gamers, bikers,
hang gliders!
Book clubbers, are we up for it? Let's go all in against cancer, all in to help fund life-saving research. Sign up now and save 30% off entry to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event. Search Race for Life. Discount ends January 31st, 2026. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Ears are great, aren't they? One on each side of your head for stereo. It's because of ears that radio ads can amplify your advertising. 40 million adults listen to commercial radio every week. That's 80 million ears, give or take. See radio differently at radiocentre.org.
Thanks for a lovely evening. Would you like to come in for a coffee?
Yeah, okay. That'd be lovely.
Oh, gosh, sorry. I didn't mean... I just wanted you to see my new Wix kitchen. It's just been installed.
At Wix, our experts will support you every step of the way, from a free kitchen design service through to a professional installation. Plus, right now, find big savings in the Wix kitchen sale. Book a free design appointment and feel as proud as a peacock with Wix. Terms apply.
At Lidl, we value getting you the most out of your money. Like switching from Tesco to Lidl and saving £31 on this week's big shop. See the savings at lidl.co.uk/save and start the new year feeling like a savvy saver. Lidl, more to value. Prices check 5th of the 1st, 26. Tesco also sell other products. See online for more details.
If you have an M&S online account or a Sparks card, your data may have been exposed in a recent cyber attack. Earlier this year, M&S confirmed a data breach affecting customer information, including personal data. If you've ever shopped online at M&S or used Sparks, you could be entitled to compensation through a group action claim. Check your eligibility today at jointheclaim.com. It's quick, secure, and easy to do online at jointheclaim.com.
A Thameslink train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids tickets for £2 at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Memories of the great star man in a moment, but Brenda in Sussex has been hanging on the line to talk about education. Now, we have Trinity Hall, Cambridge, one of the leading colleges up there, and they're all pretty good, specifically targeting private school pupils. How fair is that in your book, Brenda? Hello.
Hello there. Good morning.
Good morning.
At this stage in our lives, I would say it's actually somewhat fair, because the way social engineering has been going in the last several years, it does feel like the top universities in this country limit the number of private school children they'll take.
Well, indeed, one education commentator said that was very much the feeling around, yes, the feeling abroad at the moment.
Yes, it certainly feels that way. In fact, our school, my kid's school, is actively encouraging our students to go to America now for a top-rated education.
Which is exactly what Nick Hillman was saying. And how do you react to that as a mum?
As a mum, I think it would be a phenomenal opportunity for them, but I don't, as a selfish mum, I don't want my kids to go to America for university. I'd rather they're a bit closer. I just feel like universities should take children on what they bring to the table. You know, they're being evaluated.
Yeah.
Let's see what they bring.
Now, the other commentator said that, let's just say that do you have two sons, two daughters, whatever, it doesn't matter.
I have three sons and a daughter.
You have three sons and a daughter. Okay, one of whom puts in, and are they at a private school?
Yes, they are. Okay. Well, two are at university, but okay. Two at state school.
Okay, so one goes to private school, and she turns in 3A stars. Actually, the child who went to a state school in the back streets of Sunderland and gets 3A stars has achieved far more than your child would have done, is what one of my contributors would say. How do you respond?
I respond, I don't think that's true at all. I think if the child from Sunderland has got 3A stars and come from a subpar school, then they've clearly done exceptionally well. But you can't spoon-feed a child an A star. They've still got to have the ability. And yes, they're fortunate. They're in smaller classes. They've got excellent teachers. But they are still having to sit there and do the exam, do the coursework if there is any, and have the ability. Not all children coming out of private schools get A stars.
No, of course. No, absolutely. Were you happy with the universities that your two children have gone on to? Did they get the universities they wanted?
They got the... You know, everyone applies to five. They got one of them each.
Cool.
And in fact, my daughter got her top.
Right.
But my son did not, no.
Okay.
And in fact, he got several rejections.
Right. Okay. Well,
even though he's predicted top grades.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I put, I know my children are considerably older than yours, but I put my two sons through private school, and I know what a financial commitment that was. You're putting a total of four through. Let's be fairly crude with this question. Is it money well spent?
I think so.
Why so?
I absolutely think so.
You probably could have bought another house with the money you'll spend on education.
Yes, I think we probably could. But for me, it's the whole package. I'm lucky my children are quite bright, so I have to think if they went to a reasonable school anywhere, they would academically do well.
So why, therefore, have you committed to, I don't know, what is it, seven, eight a term? I'm guessing. I've no idea what it is. Probably more, actually. Is it? Right. Okay, gosh. So, and you've got to do that three times, and you've got to pay tax out of that. Three terms. You've got four children. I think you could have bought two houses with what you'd have spent. So if your kids are bright anyway, why not let them go to the local state school in whichever part of Sussex you're in?
This is going to be a very unpopular opinion, but everything else that's offered, the sport, the music, the drama, the type of children they're in school with, and I'm not saying people in state schools don't want to learn, but they pretty much all want to learn. They all have parents who have invested so much. They are invested in doing the best for their children. And I'm really not saying this doesn't happen in the state school, don't get me wrong, but it's just an environment where they are lucky, let's be honest, they are lucky, they're fortunate.
Of course.
It's an environment built for them to thrive.
Yeah. Were you privately educated?
I was.
And your husband or partner?
He was not. No.
Okay.
But he's American, and he obviously went to school in America, and I don't know how different it is over there, but...
And lastly, when you explained to him how the education system breaks down in the UK as opposed to the US, was he amazed? Was he disappointed? How did he react?
I think he's amazed in that in America, they absolutely, at every stage, whether you're applying to schools or universities, they do take the children based on what they have achieved And he finds it hard to believe that in England it's somewhat the opposite. I mean, we are actually told in school, if you come from a private school, it's going against you for university applications.
Yes, I've heard that, actually, and which seems desperately unfair. As you say, they should take the right pupil, which is possibly what Trinity Hall is going to do. Brenda, best wishes to you, your American husband, the four children. Good luck with their school careers, their education careers, and, of course, their career careers. Move to David Bowie in a moment. But just we talked about what makes a perfect pub. as it would appear the Chancellor performs the 11th U-turn of this government. Sarah says they need to be like community centres, serving coffees as well, non-alcoholic drinks, snacks, providing games, and a snug with books for the old. Michael in Kent points out it's cheaper and more enjoyable to stay at home with a bottle or two and watch Netflix. Cinemas are expensive. The two together in one evening with a pub is ridiculously expensive. And lastly, Anne in St Albans. My local is very busy. It's more from a traditional boozer into a family pub. Wall-to-wall children, pushchairs, dogs, terrific food at lunchtimes. It works for me. Oh, no, I'm sorry. See, it works. You need a comma there. It works, but for me, it's RIP to my local boozer. Oh, I was the local boozer. Right, Paul in New Southgate. Sad anniversary tomorrow. 10 years since the loss of the great man. What did he mean to you, David Bowie?
He meant a lot to me. I'm not like a super fan, but I saw him about 20 times. I even saw Tin Machine 3 times.
Hang on,
that's dedication.
That puts you on super fan status, surely. 20 times?
Yeah. Yeah, but I did see him the very last time he played London. It was Wembley. It was getting on towards winter 2003.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seen him the night before at Wembley Arena. And then the second night, my mate Jack was with me. And
good
he brought
Jack.
Along his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the tracks that Bowie played that night was Be My Wife, which he didn't normally play. And that secretary, just a whirlwind 9 years later, became my wife.
Oh.
So Bowie knew best.
Bowie did know best. What? Well, and you're still happy and everybody's great and it all works and we're all getting on fantastically. Tell me that it all worked well. No.
Everything's chugging along nicely and we still listen to Bowie in the iPod.
Oh, that's lovely. When was he at his absolute best, would you say, Paul?
Music-wise. It's so difficult because the final tour, the reality tour, he was really enjoying himself. And he said, yeah, I'm having a great time here. I'm loving the crowd. I'm rediscovering the old tunes that I thought I'd put behind me. And he was just feeding off the joy of the crowd. Performance-wise, I even saw the Glass Spider tour, which was pretty
pants. My goodness me. Wow. So I was fortunate enough to interview him on a couple of occasions because I was a journalist. I only ever saw him once, but he was almost a born performer. You could see he was in a good place career-wise, by the way, but he was absolutely relishing being on stage, that man.
Oh, he owns the stage. He really did. And yeah, he always chose the best musicians to work with.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't say, oh, no, these are just my backing band. He brought them forward. He got the best out of them. I mean, Carlos Alomar and Earl Slick, a fabulous guitarist.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, I forgot. Okay, lastly, so when you are with your wife, who you met through a shared love of David, what's the number one track that you put on your iPlayer?
on Facebook, they had a thing where you could get a shirt made with lyrics on it, and I got Life on Mars.
Life on Mars. What a way to remember the great man. Thanks for that, Paul. Best wishes to you and to the wife that you found through a shared love of that artiste. And that brings us to the end. If you missed any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can stay up to date on the top stories and opinions. Put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. James O'Brien's the other side of the news. We're going to have to discuss the idea from one listener that they're going to put us in different corners of a pub. We would apparently make for the perfect pub. He's in one corner, I'm in the other. Oh, I'm not so sure. James is the other side of the news. I'm back with you. Oh, where are we? Monday morning from 7, the first week done. Meantime, have a safe weekend.
Thank you, Nick. Well, I'll see. I'll check my diary, shall I? I'll check my schedule. I did just check, actually, what happened to my late grandmother's pubs in Leeds, one of which has been knocked down, and the other of which recently turned into something called a Hickory's Smokehouse, which is not a chain I'm familiar with, but it speaks, doesn't it, to a decline in the trade that was underway and pretty speedy long before Rachel Reeves set her sights upon those business rates. And now there's another U-turn, and it's the U-turn element, I think, rather than the pub element that interests me most this morning. At some point, U-turns look good. It makes it look like you're listening, that you're changing when the facts change. But there comes a point where there's just too many, right?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, Storm Goretti has left tens of thousands of homes without power after bringing heavy snowfall and powerful winds. The National Grid says more than 60,000 properties are currently without electricity in England and Wales. Wind gusts of 99 miles per hour have been recorded in Cornwall, with falling trees also causing issues on the roads. Darren Clark is from National Highways and has this advice for those looking to travel.
Drive cautiously, drive slow. Consider it's going to take you a lot longer to stop. No sudden actions when you're braking or turning or accelerating. And if you don't need to make that journey, stay at home, stay safe.
Dozens of schools are closed in northern Scotland and central Wales due to heavy snowfall. Transport for Wales says it won't run services on most of its routes today. Judith Bryce is from the Welsh Ambulance Service and has told LBC they're expecting a sharp rise in demand.
It does mean in areas like remote parts of Wales that it may take us longer to reach you. But what we would say is that please, if you need us, continue to call and we will be there. Only go out if you have to. You know, conditions are going to be quite significant out there.
Stay with LBC for the latest on Storm Goretti. Elsewhere this morning, two people have been taken to hospital after being shot by a US federal agent in the state of Oregon. It happened during a vehicle stop targeting a passenger linked to a suspected Venezuelan gang. Portland's Democratic mayor has called for immigration agents to suspend all operations in the city while investigations take place. A potential U-turn on planned business rate hikes for pubs is being called totally unfair by some within the hospitality sector. LBC understands an announcement's expected within days, but it won't apply to other firms or retailers. It's the latest in a series of government climb-downs, including on farmers' inheritance tax before Christmas. The Labour Party chair, Anna Turley, told LBC any change for pubs won't be a U-turn.
Policies change all the time. You know, that I don't see every shift in a policy. We can spend the next 3 years calling every shift or slight amendment in a policy a U-turn. I don't think that's fair. Okay. The reality is we have to make sure that we get things right for people, and we always keep our policies under evaluation.
And the social media platform X says it's changed its AI system for generating images for the majority of users. There's been widespread criticism of the chatbot Grok for its use to create deep fake pictures of women and girls. A post on X says the service has now been limited to subscribers. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 36 at 10,079. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, Storm Goretti will slowly move eastwards. Snow showers will linger, though, for the east of England. Sunny spells and wintry showers elsewhere. A high of 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
On your marks, get set, go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling. And smoother than your last online date. More confidence, more go. In a new hybrid engine with 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Four minutes after 10 is the time. Very good morning indeed to you. It's a funny one, isn't it? I'm going to start talking today about pubs. I think the whole show today will look largely at domestic situations, although I'm keen to catch up with Simon Marks about the events in Minneapolis. We went in so deep on those yesterday, and nothing really has changed. The liars continue to lie, and the horror of what happened continues to reverberate around. I wonder whether people ask themselves the question, what will I do when they start murdering innocent people and blatantly lying about it? What will I do when they start killing innocent people and blatantly lying about it? You know, sadly, we live in a world where for some people it's going to depend upon characteristics. You know, when George Floyd was murdered and it was blatantly lied about, some people felt that his criminal record or his ethnicity or his history justified the murder, as if the law is not universal, as if it doesn't apply to everybody. In the case of Renee Nicole Good, it's a little harder to do that. So people who have asked themselves the question, how will I react? What will I do? Journalists, perhaps, how will I report when they start killing innocent people and blatantly lying about it? I suspect a lot of people are very surprised to find what their real answer to that question is on both sides of the Atlantic. I bet they never thought a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, that they'd be, well, I'll probably defend it, or I'll both sides it, or I'll try to turn it into something that is debatable, or I'll completely ignore it because I've been such a passionate supporter of Donald Trump. I've used the phrase Trump derangement syndrome to describe people accurately reporting on who and what he is, what he does, and the threats that he poses. So I'll probably just not mention it at all. I don't know. I honestly don't know, but it's an interesting question, isn't it? What will I do when they start murdering innocent people, murdering civilians, and blatantly lying about it? Because I still find it impossible to believe that we are actually there. We are actually there. It's happened. Not here yet, thank goodness. Hopefully never, but there. It's happened there. And don't at me. Of course it has happened here in some ways, particularly if you're looking at the history of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. And then you have that other story, which involves looking across the Atlantic. But I think, given that so many people here are still on that platform, it does count as a domestic story. I can't get my head around it. Sometimes I come on air and say to you, we're doing a Marvin Gaye. A what's going on topic. Like, I literally just, or come one, come all, and explain to me what is going on. But Twitter, which, I mean, when I first joined Twitter, it was a lovely, warm, fluffy, funny place. And now, it's the place that you go to, and I'm going to say this, in a sense, with an air of disbelief. It's a place that you go to if you want to make child sex abuse images for fun. Pardon? And the owner seems entirely comfortable with that. The changes that they've made, reported in our news bulletin, now limit the freedom to make child sex abuse images to your heart's content to people who pay to be on the platform. You can no longer do it if you don't pay. Although you can still, if you don't pay, make all manner of hideous and probably illegal images. So I don't know how we get into that at 11 o'clock. Sometimes when I say we're going to crowdsource, I want you to text me or WhatsApp me with ideas of how we talk about it. If you can frame it in a sentence or two, ideally interrogatory, ideally questions, I might just nick it and give you a producer credit at the end of the program, because we're not quite sure how to get into this as a subject. Hey, we could book a bunch of experts. We've already spoken to a bloke who knows this story inside out this week. We did that on Wednesday. But how does it work in a conversation that we can have together? What's that word that we used earlier in the week to describe something that you can't quite believe even as it unfolds in front of you? Twitter has been turned into a place. Sorry, say that again, James. Yeah, you go there now and you can turn pictures of any woman on the planet into basic pornography. Well, sophisticated pornography, utterly convincing pornography. Do you know what they've done? They've taken pictures of a young woman who died in that hideous fire in Switzerland over the Christmas period, a 15-year-old girl who was educated in this country, and instructed the app to put her in a bikini. And within minutes of Renee Nicole Good being killed yesterday, they were doing the same to pictures of her. And I can't, you can tell from my voice, I'm not a prude by any stretch of the imagination. I suppose I'm a child of my upbringing a bit. But I can't quite believe what I'm saying to you. And when I can't quite believe what I'm saying to you, I struggle sometimes to come up with a way into the conversation. But we'll